Maybe first of all, I could speak about the vaccine. It's a serious concern to me that this vaccine is being declared as safe and being injected into billions of arms internationally. We all know that vaccines traditionally need a 2 to 4 year period of time in order to be sure that adverse side effects are not statistically significant. And that has simply not happened with this vaccine. It's been rushed to market quite inappropriately because the scale of threat does not determine that degree of risk. The vast majority of people, the working world, are not going to die of this condition. It's going to be a very trivial flu-like illness. And the vulnerable, the older people, of course, should be protected in other ways that don't necessarily require a vaccine. That's called infection control methods that have been known for decades, and there are manuals about that on the shelf currently getting dusty. So the vaccine is, first of all, unnecessary. Secondly, it's reckless in terms of how it's being introduced because it's certainly not being shown to be safe. And then, of course, we had the recent realization that there were a significant number of events in women under 55 with thrombotic events, blood clots in various parts of the body, brain and legs, for example, that caused AstraZeneca's vaccine to be suspended in many countries internationally. Now, that, of course, cuts to the very core of what I was saying. These events would have been discovered in the normal course if they had extended the testing period, which they chose not to do. So here we have some unfortunate side effects that have essentially removed half of the potential population from vaccination, namely women under 55. So it's merely an example of what everyone's been saying that's at all knowledgeable about vaccines, that this was reckless, unnecessary, and unsafe. Anyone that's saying that this vaccine is safe without any qualification is guilty, in my opinion, if they're in medicine, of medical malpractice.
Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours. Monday, May 24th, 2021. Thank you for joining me today. A really good show today for you. I was actually getting excited myself as I was going through some of the things we were going to discuss. Opening there, Dr. Hodgkinson is going to be speaking with Taylor Hudak. Actually, I believe already has completed the interview. That'll be going up on The Last American Vagabond this week. So I wanted to play that clip. Somebody who's very knowledgeable on the topic, who's not afraid to tell you what he thinks about why they're lying to you, why they're wrong, while they're deceiving, while, you know, or just not aware that they're very, very dangerously wrong about what they're doing. I tend to feel it's a little more nefarious than that. Very important show for you today. I'm going to do things a little differently. I usually try to kind of pace the important discussions in between other things that relate to it, well, sort of because I do a show a certain way. But today we're going to start, and not like really quickly, one, two, three, but we're going to go through the important stuff to start today, about four or five topics that are really important discussions, one of which is just going to begin reiterating that MIT study because James Corbett just did a good article on it. And I've been waiting for an opportunity to sort of reiterate how important that MIT article study was about the way they're framing what we're doing here. But we're also going to talk about how they've been sort of shifting into exactly what we've been saying from the very beginning, or slowly kind of panning back their like, you know, allowing masks to go away. Suddenly New York is going back to normal school and all these things aren't allowed anymore. And as I keep saying, why? These are great things, right? But we shouldn't be happy. I mean, we shouldn't be cheering the people on when they give us back what they shouldn't have taken from us to begin with, right? We need to demand, while being happy that it's going away to a degree, because I don't think it's going away. I'm pretty certain that it will never go away, but we need to demand explanations. Why are you changing these things? Why is Fauci suddenly talking about the bioweapon discussion in the lab, or excuse me, specifically the lab leak as they're trying to frame it now? versus before. What's changing? Nothing, really. The data has been the same. So why are they shifting the narrative? We need to demand answers here. Very important stuff. We're going to go over the Wall Street Journal discussion of the Wuhan lab in the early part of the show today. We're going to talk about how the UK was just caught tracking civilians using their phones because they were vaccinated. Shocking! Exactly what we told you would happen and exactly what they stated would happen in multiple, I mean, documents, discussions, trial data, on and on and on. Pharmacovigilance. We told you this was part of it. Yes, they try to make that to be only about people in the trials, but it wasn't about that. And Whitney and I discussed this a long time ago, and they were just caught again. Just like when they said, we'll never share your personal data, and they sold it to a bunch of people for profit, and the government got caught. They said, oh, our mistake. Yeah, was it a mistake, or did they do what they always said, what we were telling you they were going to do? One of the big parts today is the child discussion. Children being coerced, manipulated. Here's some free ice cream. Oh, no, you don't need your parents' consent for this unapproved experimental injection that's currently still being studied, whether trials or just new things they're discovering, like blood clots they're now investigating, or now they're looking into heart problems for teens. You know, when you would have figured that stuff out in trials done properly, like Dr. Hodgkins was talking about in the beginning. There's a lot of this stuff, guys, and it's endless. We also have more studies and information around something I find to be very, very important, which is that the spike protein, or specifically SARS-CoV-2 proteins, are found in your blood long after this is supposed to be no longer present. In fact, the idea is that this is the most important part for why you're being injured by this. The studies are finding the spike protein alone is what causes this. And now we're finding the proteins all throughout your blood month. I think it was between 20 something and 30 something days. So over a month after you've gotten these, and showing you that at the very least that it's very prevalent in your body, which very clearly then suggests that the spike protein can keep hurting your body regardless of whether you're sick with COVID-19 or not. And plenty more to get into, but let's just start off with something I find to be very important. And just a couple of quick notes. Oops, not that. That was middle of the show. I don't know why I always do that lately. Here we go, right in the beginning. I want to share a couple of interesting points. Something that I've said a lot on this show, a lot. Because it's one of the most important things to understand, because all of these discussions fall back into the political field of left versus right. And that's wrong, because that's an illusion. But they want it there, because they want you fighting yourselves instead of realizing that the government, the people who believe they have the right to rule over you are leading you in a direction that goes counter to what's best for you. And that has nothing to do with what you actually want. And that is not about your country. That's about your government. Yes, they're connected, but one is not the same. As I say here, and really what she said first, just because I hate the American government doesn't mean I hate the American working class, or rather just insert the country. I love you people to make it a family-friendly show. I just hate our effing overlords. Right? It's about the people versus the government, guys. And I stress this so much because people that want to believe that you know, the government is our country because they believe in one part of the two-party illusion, or they obsessively believe in Trump or obsessively believe in Biden, they'll want to believe that the government is the country because they support what they're doing. What it's really about is us as the people. It's what this country was founded upon, leaving a tyrannical force, starting something where the people had the power, right? Whether this was really an illusion from the beginning or not, it has been rooted in our hearts for people that now believe in what we represent as the people of this country. And the government are supposed to be working for your vision, not the other way around. So as she says this, it's important to reiterate exactly. The government and the American people are two very different and separate things. The powers that shouldn't be have worked very hard to get you to blur that line and see them as the same as you. Also, you feel that pointing out their crimes is somehow un-American when it's in fact our job to do so. Very important thing to remember. Another point, just before we jump into the MIT discussion, 21st Century Wire, always doing a great job, points out, guess what, guys? As of May 23rd, Epstein guards admit to falsifying records surrounding alleged suit. Yeah, no shit. Excuse me, sorry. As I say, family-friendly show, that just slipped out. But the point is, guys, this is ridiculous. I'm not saying that to 21st Century Wire. They're covering this because it's important for people to know what the media will never really get into unless it's to make themselves seem, you know, whatever, to use this to some degree. This is exactly what we were saying and exactly what anyone with eyes and two brain cells to rub together could clearly discern from what ridiculously went down. And the fact that, guess what? We were censored then for this too, just like we're being censored and were censored and still are for things they're now discussing, even though we talked about it 8 months ago. This is the same old rigmarole here, guys. They're lying to you. They're hiding things. And then they're using the media to suppress that and then later dripping it out as if they breaking news. It's frustrating, but here's what it says. Officials in New York have now confirmed that the two U.S. federal prison guards who were tasked with watching convicted pedophile Jeffrey Epstein, who was on a suicide watch at the time, have suddenly admitted to falsifying records pertaining to where they were during their guard duty shift. Shocking. Meaning something happened when they weren't there and they lied about it? Oh my God, who could have figured that? Guess what won't happen, though? Any further real investigation. These people will either be slapped on the wrist or sent up forever so they never talk. One way or the other, that's where it will end, in my opinion. Unless, even though they continue to say, remember when Bill Barr said he's got 9 different investigations on? Yeah, right. How about with Ghislaine Maxwell? I mean, these are pathetic ploys to get you to look anywhere else. That's what this is, essentially, in my mind. Look over there. Stop paying attention to how our narrative is collapsing in front of you. Pay attention to something you already knew, and we'll make ourselves look slightly stupid so you can look over here. So we don't look really stupid, so you look currently at what we're lying about. But it says, they also both appeared to fall asleep during their 2-hour period. Yeah, because we're 5-year-olds, right? Because that all makes sense. We're looking at videos, and we're supposed to be doing a very serious job that the world's paying attention to. Oh, and we both fell asleep. Womp womp. Like, this is how stupid they actually think we are, but nobody bought it. But guess what? It still went forward. Doesn't this show you that it's not really about even mass adoption? It's about the illusion of that. If they can keep us thinking that at the very least, a big portion of people agree with them, even though we're the majority, we kind of let it go. This is what we need to get past. They do not have it. We all saw it and we go, we know you're lying. And then we all just went back to watch something else on TV. That's not how that should have gone. It says, add to this the unlikely coincidence that the CCTV cameras were somehow, quote, accidentally erased, and therefore no footage of what actually happened when his assigned prison guards conveniently left their post. In other words, this has all the ingredients of a perfect cover-up. I mean, obviously. Remember all the weird back and forth about, oh, the camera was pointed the wrong way, and oh, wait a minute, all those cameras we said were there were suddenly not on, or it's just, it's sickeningly ridiculous. So according to these two evidence points, no one can confirm whether or not Jeffrey Epstein actually committed suicide, nor whether he was or was not murdered in the federal prison cell, or whether he was even there at the time. I mean, this is ridiculous. But this just needs to bring you in to where we are going forward, right? Like, this is these are the same people, the same entities, the same power structure that's hiding this stuff from you. This applies to today. Now, bringing this forward, just think about how absurd it is, really, on its face, that we all know this is not true. And whether we know what actually happened, that's also another good point. Same with COVID. We think we know. Look, he's staring at this picture. It's pretty obvious that he didn't kill himself. It's pretty obvious that something went down. Even if it was to, like, give him the opportunity to be able to kill himself, which I don't think happened. I'm just saying, like, you realize there's plenty of possibilities. So in this case, we shouldn't be assuming we know what's going on with COVID, but we should be very, very clear in agreement that we're being lied to. Same thing I've said in the past, right? We see it. We all see it. So standing on that and realizing that they're dishonest liars, let's talk. Oh, actually, I forgot I included this. I was going to go into the MIT. I just want to point this out as a humorous point that brings us into the MIT discussion about how people like ourselves are actually researching in ways that are superior, as MIT had seen in regard to the scientific theory. And, you know, all the things they claim we don't know are, in fact, better, or at the very least, applying it in the appropriate way, whatever that would mean to them, that we are not conspiracy theorists, you know, fake news maniacs. But in fact, we're actually more so than even the people saying, claiming that we are crazy, we're applying ourselves to the scientific theory and using the you know, being objective. We're asking questions, we're standing back, we're not going headlong into one theory just like they are. But here's what's funny is YouTube deletes on this channel. There's a reason, by the way, I've used this so many days in a row. I'm trying to test and play with how they respond. It's very interesting to me. I'm learning a lot about the way they track this stuff. There's a lot that I haven't told you about what goes on behind the scenes, literally every show I do on a different channel. It's humorous to me. That's why a lot of times it takes longer for me to get going, because there's two things I have to do that every single time YouTube turns off after I set them, every time, every single time, which will stop the video from being seen and so on and so on. It's crazy. It's like auto set to me. Anyway, I'm going to probably use one of my other channels next, but I get off on the, I love talking about the T-Lab pirate stream because a lot of people don't know what that is, but another day. On this, you can see mainstream media endorses forced COVID injections despite being, which is this article right here, despite being experimental and approved, which makes it a crime. Now, that's a fact. It's not hard to see. I mean, it's right here, by the way. Here's Bloomberg opinion. We may get to a point where we must force people to get COVID vaccines. Okay, so we can all agree that this is an obviously clear statement, and the article says the same thing. So when you're saying they're endorsing forced, I'm not saying they're saying we will, but they're endorsing it as a possibility. Very clear, right? English language the words mean something. So it's funny to me that YouTube of all picks this one. It's just humorous because, guys, it's not about truth anymore, clearly. Because I back it up with what I show you. It's just pretty pathetic, isn't it? But this is why I like to jump around these other channels, because it takes a minute to kind of really recognize where I am, I think, and it cracks me up. But we're never going to stop. We're going to keep going forward. But here's the information if you want to watch it for yourself. Very, very real and very alarming that they're openly discussing forcing you and your family to do this thing with an unapproved experimental injection, which I've shown 1,000 times over. NIH still says it's an experimental injection on their website, and the FDA still says it's an unapproved treatment. So it's experimental and unapproved by definition, which means it's illegal to even coerce people into taking it. Think about how crazy that is, but it's happening anyway. As Crimson points out, conspiracy theorists continue to outperform the media when relaying the truth regarding COVID. Now, that doesn't mean that everyone out there, but I mean, even the term conspiracy theorist, he's using that so you understand the context. But the way he's describing this, I would argue, probably doesn't think it's a derogatory thing. I don't either. In fact, it's a badge of honor in most cases, because we're talking about very easily provable things, and they call us conspiracy theorists, which only confirms for me that what we're doing is actually correct. And not definitively, but, you know, makes you think that. But in this case, he's not wrong. Not every conspiracy theorist for that term is out there giving you everything that's true, but by and large, the people on this side of the discussion have wildly outperformed the mainstream media. We all see it. That's why we're laughing about the way they keep breaking news, things that we just talked about or talked about 8 months ago. It says they have investigated and researched every fact and share credible and reliant news. The media, however, mainstream, look to promote whatever their overlords dictate to them. They've no way back. I agree with him completely. I mean, it's very obvious if you choose to look at it and are not invested for one reason or another in the two-party illusion. And this is where we come to the MIT discussion, which is really, really important. That got completely disregarded, ignored. Not it's fake news. Not we're not going to read it because it's not done properly, but completely acting, the mainstream acted like this didn't even happen, which is really telling. I just wanted to show you the headline before I jump into the, I'll come back to it and show you when it's done loading. But MIT COVID skeptics champion science. This is James Corbett's article. And I really hope you will check out his website if you haven't before. I just saw he did an interview with Allison Morrow as well, which is great to see. Now, he says, so you know how anyone who points out any problems with the rush to inject everyone on the planet with an experimental form of gene therapy is portrayed as a stupid, scientifically illiterate, COVID-denying, grandma-killing anti-vaxxer by the dinosaur media? And you know how any of our attempts to articulate these problems to your former friends will get you labeled as an anti-science loony and castigated from society? Well, imagine if a team of researchers from a prestigious scientific institution infiltrated the COVID skeptic community to expose their scientific ignorance. That was the plan, right? To infiltrate the groups and expose how stupid they were. But instead, it ended up discovering that the skeptics, by and large, care more about science and are more knowledgeable about the scientific process than their critics. Now, guys, that's not hyperbole. That is exactly what this MIT study just finished did find. Weird how that's not talked about in the media, right? Of course, if it was done by, you know, the very people that they're calling fake news, like some of the most prominent doctors in the world today that they call fake news, anti-science, conspiracy theorists, if it had been done by them, well, of course, they would say it fake news. That's a crazy loon article. But because it's done by MIT in a very specific way that aligns with the way things are supposed to be done, well, they just pretend like it's not there, because what else could they do? because they're not being honest with you. Of course, if they were honest, they would share it all and let you think for yourself. But no, they have an agenda, so they ignore it. But it says, guess what? You can stop imagining, because that's exactly what happened. In this case, the researchers are from MIT, Massachusetts Institute of Technology, and their paper, quote, "Viral Visualizations, How Coronavirus Skeptics Use Orthodox Data Practices to Promote Unorthodox Science Online," was published with little fanfare in January of 2021. Now, it says, buried further down in the MIT article are a raft of observations that make a mockery of the assertion that anti-maskers and anti-vaxxers are scientifically illiterate. For example, we're told that anti-maskers often reveal themselves to be more sophisticated in their understanding of how scientific knowledge is socially constructed than their ideological adversaries, that their approach to the pandemic is grounded in a more scientific rigor, not less, and that anti-mask users in particular were predisposed to digging through the scientific literature and highlighting the uncertainty in academic publications that media organizations omit. But it's just, first of all, anti-mask, anti-vax. It's so interesting to me that these terms are always ridiculous and polarized. But there's plenty of people that would argue that vaccines are the best thing ever, but this one's dangerous. No, anti-vaxxer or anti-mask. How about somebody who just says, well, I want a choice, but I'll use it in certain circumstances. Anti-mask. Well, no, not really. He just said he would use it, right? This is what's so childish about this is we all know this. We see it every day in politics pre-COVID-19 clown world. Every day. Oh, he's arguing that maybe what happened with Assad in that situation wasn't as clean cut as what we thought it was. Oh, Assad apologist, right? It's like, well, wait a minute. I didn't even say anything. You know, and it's so one-sided and ridiculous. It's like talking with kindergartners with mainstream media jobs. Right? This is how crazy it's gotten. And it's the same thing we're seeing here. So this MIT study very clearly found that these people weren't even close to what they were saying in a very interesting way. It says the study even admits that calling for increased media literacy can often backfire. The instruction to question more can lead to a weaponization of critical thinking and increased distrust of media and government institutions. Oh, so making us think more actually makes us realize that you're not trustworthy. Isn't that funny? Yet more bonus points for those who recall Forbes' infamous "don't do your own research" pronouncement last year, right? Remember that one? Don't do your own research. Or when they said critical thinking is actually is dangerous. There was the Times, I believe, and it was Forbes saying, do your own research is a conspiracy theorist thing. It's just incredible that they think that this actually flies with people. The only people that buy that kind of statement are people that already agree that anything stated in against what they're saying is ridiculous no matter what. Those aren't very smart people. Now it says, and in one particularly remarkable passage, the researchers outright admit that the COVID skeptics are not only scientifically literate, but in fact are pioneering new ways of incorporating data visualizations into their critiques of the scientific establishment. Sounds pretty damn smart to me. Now, they're not trying to sidestep this at all. They're very clear. They say, and I'll show you the document itself. And it says, arguing that anti-maskers simply need more scientific literacy is to characterize their approach as uninformed and explicably extreme. This is directly from the study. I believe that's the one I got right there. Arguing that simply literacy is to characterize their approach as uninformed and explicit. This is just so you see that we're on this document. Visual, this is it right here. Just took a second to load. From MIT. Okay, going back. Continuing, it says this study shows the opposite, in fact. Users in these communities are deeply invested in forms of critique and knowledge production that they recognize as markers of scientific expertise. These are the so-called anti-maskers. If anything, anti-mask science has extended the traditional tools of data and analysis by taking up the theoretical mantle of recent critical studies of visualization. Now, it says none of this is at all surprising to anyone who has spent the last year in the reality-based community where the tricks and sleights of hand of the PCR test-driven case demic have been exposed on a regular basis. So watching this show or watching James Corbett's work. Somehow the paper manages to take these remarkable findings, though, and shoehorn them back into a pat establishment-friendly narrative. And this is what I always tell you. Even the ones we keep showing you of studies in the past that come to the conclusion that this is not what we should use or not statistically significant, they still at the end go, but we should do it anyway, because they know that the people who fund them have a certain opinion. Same thing. This study swings it back around and goes, but they're challenging the official narrative and that's dangerous. So bad guys. But wait a minute. Didn't you literally just say that we are doing this in a more scientifically sound way than they are? Yes, but that doesn't apparently matter. Even MIT is going, but the narrative, that's just crazy to me. But it shows you how far away we are from being in a good place. But it says these COVID skeptics' critiques of the mainstream consensus are completely wrong, and we need to figure out how to get them to accept our pronouncements with less resistance in the future. That's Corbett's kind of breakdown of what they essentially say in the end, despite what they list. It says also worth reading is the accompanying article from MIT News, which gives more insights into how the research team used deep lurking, they call it, to infiltrate COVID skeptic communities, and how they were amazed to find that skeptics' arguments are not only scientifically literate, but, quote, really quite nuanced. That's a separate follow-up article about what people like us are doing. Now, James says, even though this is obviously a kind of, what's the term for it? A bait and hook kind of a thing where it's like, well, you know, look, they're doing a good job. But at the end they say, no, but they're bad. And that's all the mainstream will focus on. And all the you know, deniers out there will go, but you didn't even read it. Look what it says at the bottom. You're so dumb. And those are the people that actually didn't really read it and only look at the bottom and say, we're finding the whole thing that shows you that what we're doing is actually very sound. But it's worth reading, he points out, regardless, because of the things that shows you. Very, very important. But it says that the CPSO, College of Physicians and Surgeons of Ontario, the licensing body, is evidently so concerned right now about doctors daring to speak out on social media about the shoddy science underpinning the scandemic narrative that it decided to put its foot down. So this is what they're afraid of, right? So these are doctors, experts, who are speaking out and giving you their expert opinion. Now Ontario's going, well, you can't do that anymore. You're not allowed to talk without going through us as, so wait a minute, don't they have free speech? Apparently not if you're a doctor. It says the college is aware and concerned about the increase of what they're claiming misinformation circulating on social media and other platforms regarding physicians who are publicly contradicting public health orders and recommendations. Okay, so is it automatically misinformation because it challenges the narrative? Yes, that's what they're saying. That, I mean, you could, that's, I'm not, there's stated much more than just this paragraph. This is what's being stated. If you challenge this, you're wrong, no matter what, right? Even though we've already shown plenty of examples of how we're being vindicated about all sorts of things that we told you earlier that were fake news then, these are doctors and experts who are pointing to the scientific studies that we are and saying, look, this is a problem. And they go, oh, fake news, misinformation. Oh, look at this Facebook post that shared what he said, and that's all fake news, and we've deleted all. It's constant. And Ontario is openly saying that's what they're going to be doing. And not only that, actually holding these doctors to potential action against them because they feel the need to express their opinion. So what they're effectively doing is shutting down any real discussion, which we already see. What if they genuinely disagree? Which is sort of what they're trying to imply here, that either you agree with the facts or you have an agenda or you're stupid. But these are experts who don't agree. It says physicians hold a unique position, they say, of trust with the public and have a professional responsibility to not communicate anti-vaccine, anti-masking, anti-distancing, and anti-lockdown statements and or promoting unsupported, unproven treatments for COVID-19. See, so the narrative is set. You're the matter of fact, these vaccines work 100%, masks work all the time, lockdowns and things save everyone's lives no matter what. And we're going to do that with climate change too, coming up soon. And if you say anything against this, no matter what you have to support it, even if you have everything scientifically backed up, it's still fake news because you're claiming you're challenging these things. It's being laid down as mandate. Physicians must not make comments or provide advice that encourages the public to act contrary to public health orders. Now, see, now it's not about the doctor. The doctor's not your doctor anymore. The public health, the government is your doctor. The doctors execute what the government says they're allowed to do. Starting to sound like a fascist authoritarian regime, because it is. It's exactly what it is. Your doctors are supposed to be able to speak with you and have a patient relationship and then listen to you, decide, ask what you want, and then give you your possible options. You know how long that's since been happening? Long before COVID. We're long past that. We are in a medical health tyranny situation here, and the government is deciding what your doctors are allowed to even talk about, even personally with you. Physicians who put the public at risk, see, they're putting them at risk by challenging the narrative, may face an investigation. You see, now possibly criminal charges, disciplinary action. You realize if they can argue that what they did risked lives or caused someone to die, they will literally put this person in jail. When offering opinions, physicians must be guided by the law. Now, let me ask you something. At what point did the law even begin to play a factor in regard to physicians' advice based on what his expert opinions tell him? Think about that. Now, you could argue there's law about, you know, doing things in certain circumstances or consent or plenty of things. But to pretend that he has to be guided by law around his speech, like you realize that he can look at these things and go, okay, well, it's my opinion that you don't need this. You're not at risk. There's no danger. So my expert opinion is that you don't need it. Now, the law that they're placing here, not this specifically, but in general around health, are going to create a situation where he's not allowed to say that. So now you're seeing a fascist law, a dictate around your medical health everywhere, even people who might want to do right by you. They can't challenge law, regulatory standards, and the code of ethics and professional conduct, except the fact that their code of ethics and professional conduct literally are broken by what you're doing right now. You know, do no harm. The information shared must not be misleading or deceptive and must be supported by available evidence and science. But they are. You see, but they don't like what that says, so they pretend it's not real. Now, it says in response, a group of physicians from across Canada signed a declaration of their own denouncing the CPSO and its inherently anti-scientific statement. So the real doctors, the experts, speak up and go, well, you're crazy and you're in fact anti-science by stating what you're saying right now. Because it is. The scientific method is about continuing to ask questions and continuing to research, not just deciding you know and never looking back. We all know this. And a section of their declaration specifically accusing the CPSO of denying the scientific method itself. Think about how funny this is. The people calling you anti-science are literally denying the scientific method. The CPSO is ordering physicians to put aside their scientific method and not to debate the processes and conclusions of science. We physicians know and continue to believe that throughout history, opposing views, vigorous debate, and openness to new ideas have been the bedrock of scientific progress. And major advice, Jesus, any major advance in science has been arrived at by practitioners vigorously questioning official narratives and following a different path in the pursuit of truth. Yes, any major advance in science has been done against what we think is right, against what we think is normal. Just it's there for you. So at this point in history, what they want is for you to not go a different path. You see, they don't want you to realize the better way forward. They want you to go their way forward. That's why this is happening. They then go on to decry the censorship of scientific debate, noting that it constitutes a violation of doctors' pledge to provide evidence-based medicine for their patients and that it violates the principle of informed consent. It does, which they observe is not just a sacred duty of physicians, but also a legal obligation under the Nuremberg Code. That's why they're so afraid of that right now and acting like that's fake news. What they're doing is experimentation. What they're doing is a violation of their code in so many different ways. Or their oath, excuse me. The declaration has so far been signed by 448 physicians and co-signed by over 11,000 concerned citizens from across Canada. But CPSO has yet to retract its order. Of course not, because they don't care what you think. As long as I said in the beginning, they pretend that they've got the majority and you believe them, it'll keep going. Even when mainstream researchers are forced by their own study to admit that the skeptics are not scientifically illiterate dunces, nothing changes. That is what I'm talking about. Their own MIT study finds that we're not dumb and in fact smarter than them in a lot of ways, and nothing stops. It is on us, guys. Somebody just sent me this. It's actually funny that I actually have an opportunity to show this. Somebody just sent this to me. Oh, by the way, and I forgot something else I was going to show you. Maybe I'll do that right now. But somebody sent me this, and it just says, there are two ways to get to the top of an oak tree. You can sit on an acorn or you can start climbing. Ryan's dad. I guess that's what it was. I appreciate that. Somebody sent that to me. I've said that before, but this is the point, right? You don't wait for things to happen around you. You start climbing, right? You could sit there all day, all year, rest of your life, and maybe it'll grow a little bit, or you could just start climbing, right? That's the important point. The other thing was somebody sent me this shirt, by the way. My mask is on the inside. It's called an immune system. One of my favorites out there sent this to me. I really appreciate it. But getting back into it on that point, we need to do it ourselves. Right. If we're expecting this study to just change, that implies that they're honest people. They care about new information. We know that's not true. Right. We know they don't care about new information. We know that they're not honest based on their actions. So we need to take it upon ourselves to make something change. That's the point. And not talking about violence. I never am. So it's interesting to see how that happens. Now it says, this is not surprising to those of us who have followed the unfolding of COVID-19-11, which, by the way, Jason Burmes, I believe, is credited with COVID-1984, which is great. I love that. It's perfect. But I have to say COVID-9-11 is better. it's exactly what it just sung when I read that. That's exactly what it is. This is part two of 9-11. That's what this is. I mean, if you understand how that really went down and understand how it built out the security state, this is now the biosecurity state. This is the technological evolution of their tyrannical authoritarian structure. This is what it is. It's a technocratic direction. So that's perfect. So I got to remember that. But it says, it's not surprising that those of us who followed the unfolding of COVID-9-11 and who know that far from a seat of the pants response to an out of the blue and ultra deadly pandemic, the events of the past year have been a long planned series of actions designed to lead us through a biosecurity state into the Great Reset and ultimately to the end of humanity. Now, James is not one to say things like that lightly. Like I'm actually to even that past show when he talked about that or the article I read. I only say I'm shocked to see him write that because he is usually very, very reserved when it comes to such big statements like that. But he means that. And I believe that what is happening here. And you don't have to take it in such an extreme perception. It's the direction of, as we just showed you in the past shows, of blending technology with humanity to the event that they're going to alter evolution, just like they told you they would in 2002 in regard to converging technologies and blending nanotechnology with, and they all have told you this. So what does that ultimately amount to if you're slowly, cyborg scenario, right? This is the end of humanity as we know it, and it's not hyperbole. Very interesting. Just it was the James Corbett of all people to be saying this. Scary, but it's real. But it shouldn't be scary to the point that means we're done. We have an opportunity right now to stand up and push back. Now, I hope you'll go through and read this for yourself. Now, to the next important one in regard to how they're shifting. New York City, which has the biggest school district in the country, will fully return to in-person learning this fall. Great, but with no remote option. Isn't that interesting? Like, doesn't this just completely seem to challenge whatever? I mean, look, again, great news. Nobody should be unhappy with this, but we should not just go, yay, thank you. Thank you, Blasio. No, you should own up for what happened. What changed, right? Why now? The data is no, you keep screaming about how you haven't gotten enough in regard to herd immunity. I'm not even going to get into that discussion in regard to natural or not. The point is, based on their vaccine or their injection, which is the only thing they're caring about, they're not even close. Okay, so why then? Are they now admitting that children are not at risk and this is why it doesn't matter? If so, you need to admit that. And then de Blasio needs to be charged for some kind of a crime for destroying these children's lives, increasing teen suicide by 100%, at least in his location. It happened all across the country. Someone needs to be held to account for these actions that are being rolled back for no discernible reason. I mean, they're expecting you to go, oh, good, finally, it's going away, and just not care about how obviously they're showing you that everything they've been screaming about thus far is either fake or they just realized they were wrong. I find it pretty telling, but it's happening everywhere. This is one example. You've seen it's happening everywhere. Here's another big example. But the same thing's happening with Florida and different places, but this is, of course, Fauci saying he's not convinced that COVID developed naturally. Are you kidding me? Seriously? Of course, they're all leaning into this leak discussion, which, you know, it's just, and then of making it very clearly pointing at one side. There's only China, despite the obvious reality that they were working together on this. But seriously, and I said, I'm still skeptical about this, that it may just be what they want us thinking. Like there's no, we always need to ask why just now this gets pushed in, even though they were censoring everybody like crazy in the beginning about this exact topic at the direction of the government, which we have to understand. They are controlling the direction of the censorship of everything that's happening with these platforms because the people that decide what they do are government, Atlantic Council and Facebook, guys. It's not a secret. So I'm very skeptical about why now. Doesn't mean it's necessarily wrong, but it means that there's something they're doing with this. But for Fauci to say this now, based on, importantly, the exact same evidence we reported on a year ago and were censored for, is clownishly ridiculous. It reeks of a planned effort. But it shows you how crazy it is that we can say this stuff, review the evidence, and not make statements of fact and still be censored because we weren't supposed to talk about it yet. Very clear. Well, here's the Wall Street Journal now breaking the story. Three Wuhan Institute of Virology researchers became sick enough in November 2019 that they sought hospital care, according to a U.S. intelligence report. Oh, because that's very trustworthy because we can trust the U.S. intelligence reports that could add to calls for a fuller probe of whether the COVID-19 virus may have escaped the lab. Of course, we're escaped, right? Even though we don't know, the narrative has already become escaped or leaked. Well, we don't know though, right? So couldn't it also be a bioweapon? No, fake news, right? It's obvious how they're directing this narrative. Just as easily could have been, especially if you're talking about bad guy China, right? Could have been a bioweapon, okay? Now the point is, I have no doubt that there's something that went on, but that 100% includes the U.S. government, NIH, NIH, North Carolina University, EcoHealth Alliance. We know all of this stuff, guys. And the point is, think about how stupid it is that Wall Street Journal is pointing out to these three people based on a report that they have. I mean, that we're being told this happened, that people are going, wait, we don't even think it's connected, which I'll get into in a second. But what about all the people that were openly reported were sick at the World Military Games, the U.S. people? What about all the people that were sick around Fort Detrick? What about the leak from the lab right before all this started from Fort Detrick? Well, okay, but the other side, we claim it started over there and we're told things we can't verify, but all we can do is focus on this one location. That seems really sound, doesn't it? There's far, far, far more going on in regard to Fort Detrick than this discussion of Wuhan to leave it out of the discussion entirely. Again, my point is not one or the other, but both, ladies and gentlemen, both. They are working together. We know this. It's verified. So I don't even understand why. Look, if you read an article that discusses this in any way, shape, or form and leaves out both one side or the other, it's a dishonest article. It's a choice or they're bad at their job, period. Because it's so obvious the crossover here. Now, here's DeSantis. Again, same kind of thing. Responding to this article, saying even Fauci admits this may be something not very well. I'll just play it. But listen, I do not trust this guy. I don't trust any of these people, by the way, but this guy is very clearly playing up this partisan angle about how he's fighting against all of this. But it's not, because in his state, you can still force masks. You can still demand a vaccine proof. He said that was okay for businesses. It's still going forward, just with the illusion that he's helping you. That's my opinion. Here's what he says.
Now we have information that this very well may have emanated from the Wuhan lab. That it was a leak from the lab. But you remember when people last year were raising that as something that needed to be investigated, they were deplatformed for talking about the lab leak. Yep. They were censored for having said that. And now even Fauci admits that this may be something that very well is the case.
Based on no new evidence. Where's the media? Where's the mainstream? Right? Are they real journalists? We know that's not true. But what would the first question be? Okay, Fauci, what changed? Now you're saying it's possible. What changed? Did you review the evidence and come to a different conclusion? Or, no, none of that. It's only going to be partisan wedge points. That's all they do.
Are they going to now censor Fauci and pull him down off social media?
Right? I mean, I'm showing you because it's a fair point. It's obviously ridiculous, but this is so obviously a ploy, guys. It reeks of some kind of play out dynamic where we were just too early to talk about it. It's just crazy how obvious this is, that this is some kind of a one-sided discussion. There is no actual, Dell Bigtree's done a good job recently of really proving the same things I've shown you, the same document showing that Equal Health Alliance literally still has an open contract for the same discussion, how they're working, even when Trump pulled away from this. They were still working with multiple labs in China, just not Wuhan. They just hope you weren't smart enough to know that. So if it's all bad guy China, why was only Wuhan the one that was the problem, right? And by the way, that continued to go on, and it happened well into Trump's administration. But here's the actual article. Intelligence of sick staff at Wuhan lab fuels debate on COVID-19 origin. Now, here is the article itself on a readable one, just so you can, I can do this easier than, because that's Wall Street Journal makes you pay because they're all, you know, failing mainstream media. But it says, three researchers from China's Wuhan Institute of Virology became sick enough in November 2019, excuse me, that they sought hospital care, according to a previously disclosed U.S. intelligence report. And this is funny, undisclosed. Okay, so why didn't they tell us before? Why, so this U.S. intelligence report apparently has been there since November 2019, so why did they keep this from our view? If this was so important and it was so obvious that this was people were sick and that's suspect that now it's enough to where the media can report on it, why didn't U.S. intelligence tell us a year ago? Who cares, right? They just kept it from your view because they're so honest. U.S. intelligence report, which, by the way, should immediately make you go, it might not be real because they lie about goddamn near everything. So do all the other intelligence communities around the world, that could add weight to growing calls for a fuller probe of whether it escaped or was made. But they don't talk about that either. Very real, very possible. Or is nanotechnology that mimics viruses, which is exactly what Charles Lieber was working on, the leading nanotechnology expert in the world in regard to mimicking viruses. And then right before all this, he gets shuttled away and it's like, oh, guess nothing happened there. There's a lot of things that we don't like to talk about in this sphere in the mainstream media. But I do agree, this feels like misdirection, and very obviously. But think about the timing of November 2019. This is exactly the time where, if we're understanding the timeline, the World Military Games. I always want to get it exact. Okay. World Military Games was October 2019. Okay. So if we're talking October 2019, what comes after October? Right? So in October is when the discussion was had about how, I mean, let's just briefly go over it. So we know that there were leaks, I think it was a month before, 2 months before, in 2019 from Fort Detrick. Verified. National security couldn't talk about it. They have coronaviruses. They work on all that stuff. They have Ebola. They have anthrax, right? This is a BSL-4 lab. And before this, they've admitted to having one leak every 3 days for 7 years straight. That's not a joke. Throwing away things in the garbage can and going, oops, that's not a joke. You can look this stuff up, right? The point is that this is a real issue where they had a leak right before this. Then there was this weird vaping illness that no one's ever described that we've already said could have been COVID-19 according to an AI computer. We just talked about this. In fact, the AI computer said it was COVID-19. Media kept that quiet. Okay, so this is spreading around. You've got this stuff happening. Then you've got the World Military Games right after that, where people left right from this area into the Wuhan area. Okay, so I'm not saying I know this is a fact that this happened this way, but that this is what caused it, COVID-19 or whatever we're talking about. But why is that not a very real, valid possibility? A location that has had leaks just like this. When you have this weird illness all around this area with the same ground glass opacity in the lungs that's supposed to be very specific to this exact thing, where apparently almost 70% of people with COVID-19 had that exact thing. And nobody wants to talk about any of this. And remember, the other important part of it is that while they were at the World Military Games, the U.S. government didn't do any social media like they always do rampantly of the years before. And they all seem to could finish pretty subpar, even though every year before they're almost number one across the board, biggest military in the world, right? So what was going wrong then? There's reports of U.S. military being sick during that time frame, walking around the Wuhan lab. But let's all pretend like it all comes back to a one U.S. report about people who may have been sick that we can't verify from one location, and that's all we have. Sure, could it be? Of course it could. But do you see how obviously one-sided this is driving? They're trying to make this happen. Now, by the way, I'm just rattling this stuff off while I'm looking at this page because I've done all this before. If you're interested in a really deep dive on all the stuff I just rattled off, including the part I left out, which is North Carolina University giving the material back and forth between these places and working with the Wuhan lab, and then they outsourced after all this because they pretended like they stopped and knew it kept going, and it went all the way past into Trump's administration, on and on and on. I mean, that's what this next part is. Trump cuts U.S. research on bat because of China ties. China ties? You mean the literal person you were working with? Like, so we're, oh no, it's tied to China. Yeah, obviously it's in China. We paid them. So this is a sham. National Institutes of Health on Friday told Eco the Lions, the study sponsor for the past 5 years, that all future funding was cut, except for all the other 13 places it was going on. We just pretend like it was all of it, but only stop the Wuhan lab. I showed you this when it happened. This is April 27th. So all the way until April 27th, this continued. The Trump administration abruptly cut off funding for a project studying how it spread from bats to humans. Well, that's what they told us it was about, you know, bio gain of function research. Anyway, the point is that it went on. But going back to this, it says that with symptoms consistent with both COVID-19 and common seasonal illness. Okay, so realistically, that could be literally anything. If you're just basing this on symptoms, which apply to like every single thing we know, the same symptoms. I mean, that's why it's so frustrating outside of like the things we see following the spike protein. But this is interesting and valid and could definitely be what we're talking about, or it could not be. But the fact that we're so obviously pointing to only this is very telling. Researchers expressed differing views about the strength of this evidence, which is to be expected. But it says the information, this is the one that believes it, that we had coming from the various sources was exquisite quality. It was very precise. What it didn't tell you was exactly why they got sick. It says the Wuhan Institute hasn't shared raw data, safety logs, and lab records on its extensive work with coronavirus in bats, which may consider the most, which many consider the most likely source of the virus. Now, ask yourself, who else has that data? The U.S. government that worked there, as well as the fact that the U.S. government, who at the time was the largest funder of the WHO, had, which means, by the way, that they supply the most personnel, means that they were there right then when this started, on the ground, in the Wuhan lab when they were investigating this. And Trump acted like, I didn't know, they didn't tell us. You had people there. They knew. They told you. It's very clear. This stuff is obvious. They lied to you from the beginning, and Trump was included. They know what's going on there. They've got, this is their project, guys. WHO-led team's conclusion was that a lab leak was extremely unlikely. I don't know why we would trust the WHO in one way or the other. But it says, quote, we continue to have serious questions about the earliest days of the COVID-19 pandemic, including its origin within the People's Republic of China, right? So questioning whether we should be questioning its origin across the board, guys. There is a last time I checked, there's like 9 countries that have said they found evidence of it long before it was first seen in China. Doesn't mean it didn't still start in China, but to pretend that we know as a matter of fact it started right there in China in that one place is just ridiculous. Canada and Calgary University said they found evidence of this in 2013. I've covered all this in the show, but let's keep pretending like it's only this. Beijing has also asserted that the virus could have originated outside China, including Fort Detrick. Of course, because China points at it, that means it's fake news, according to anybody still lost in the two-party paradigm. It doesn't matter if China said it. Look at the data. Look at what I've reported long before China even brought that up. I talked about Fort Detrick before COVID-19 started. So we need to realize this is a real obvious problem. It says, and it called for the WHO to investigate the early COVID outbreaks in other countries. That's exactly. It's true, because it's very clearly there. But I think there's a weird whether this is a ploy between the U.S. and China in regard to playing this game, or maybe they thought they were working together and then one of them tried to sell the other one out. Now they're both trying to blame it on the other. I mean, who knows? At the end of the day, the evidence is what you should be paying attention to, not the narrative. Most scientists say they have seen nothing to corroborate the idea that the virus came from a U.S. military lab and that the White House has said that there are no credible reasons to investigate it. Are you serious? Like, think about what they're saying right there. Most scientists, which means nothing. What does that mean? Which ones? What are their credentials? Oh, you mean that podiatrist over there, right? Or excuse me, that'd be a doctor, but you know, whatever. The middle rung science. Like, it's just, they just always use that term. But if we were to write it that way, it would be ridiculous. But the point is that there's nothing to corroborate the idea that it came from that. You mean beside the fact that they literally work on exactly that the material came from North Carolina University, that Fort Detrick had we leak every 3 days for 7 years straight, that there was an outbreak around the area before this started, that there was clearly a lab leak that they shut it down for. I mean, really? And then the White House says there's no credible reasons to investigate. What about the leak from the lab? But of course, you see, they don't want you to think about those things. So all they do is act like that's ridiculous. That's just not true. But it says Marianne Kumpas, a Dutch virologist on the team, told NBC News that in March that some Wuhan Institute of Virology staff did fall sick in the autumn of 2019. But she attributed that to regular seasonal sickness. Nice assumption, though, right? There were occasional illnesses because that's normal. There was nothing stood out. But as I understand it, these are people that were, you know, like internal people in the lab that get sick. But who knows, right? But what's interesting, though, is the way that they frame this, right? That these are people that are going, no, we don't know for sure. But I think the timing is the most important thing. Coming from October to November, right? Right when all this starts. It's just impossible to pretend like this is just like, that's just no, there's no way. There's no way. That's a choice. We know that by now. But this is something we should be very skeptical about because I believe this is an attempted misdirection. The reality, though, that they're trying to cover up with all these talks of origin now after long after, I mean, think about the reality that it's obviously important. It's very important to know where this actually started or came from or who started or who covered it up or anything like that from the beginning. But it's almost secondary now to what they're trying to accomplish, regardless of where that started, right? The vaccine discussion is the front line of this right now. And their invasive actions around all of it. Sure, we need to know because that would help us fight this front and center. But this is where we need to be focusing on because they're not going to wait for us to figure it out. They're driving this forward like everything else we keep showing you. And unless we step up and stop it, they'll keep going even if we see it. Like we keep telling you, just like this, millions, according to the Telegraph, unwittingly tracked their words by phone after vaccination to see if movements changed. Yeah, you know what that means? They're making sure you don't just keel over and die. They're making sure you don't walk slower, walk with a limp, do things differently, right? They're tracking you to see if it affects you. You know what that's called? An experiment. It says millions, and this is on May 22nd, millions of is that Britons or Britons? Somebody tell me. I've never asked that. I always say it both ways. Had their movements unwittingly tracked using their mobile phones to see if vaccinated people moved about more after the jabs. Right. Now, ask yourself why that would be necessary. Is it just some random for fun experiment without their knowledge, which makes it a crime, to see if they just get more active? Are we trying to see if the vaccine improves your activity? Obviously not. It's about seeing if it goes the other way. They want to see if you're not moving at all. They want to see if you're bedridden. They want to see if you're moving around. They want to see if you get vaccinated and then go engage with people. And then maybe they can track to see what happens to those people because they're tracking you. This is pretty crazy. It says, without their owner's express knowledge, they're claiming it was only 1 in 10 people. But why would that even make sense? Like, really take a minute and think about it. Why would they just go, yeah, we'll just do 1 in 10 so we can get partial data that we have to, you know, put an asterisk next because it could be those other 9. Yeah, right. I don't believe that for a second. The only reason I argue that they would do that or they would lie about doing that is to make it seem like it was just an experiment. We're not trying to spy on you. We just wanted to test a certain thing, which is what they try to make this about. Oh, don't worry. It's anonymized. We made sure we wouldn't know. They've lied about that 100 times over, just like the UK has already lied about that. Don't worry. The app information is anonymized. We won't share it. And then they went and shared it. They went and shared it, sold it, made money. We talked about this in a past show. I don't buy that for a second. I believe they're spying on every single person they can long before vaccines, which means they're now just using it to currently spy on those with vaccines. But it says this group was then tracked through 40 call data records with corresponding location observations every day and monitored for behavioral changes by analyzing their data for the week prior and the week after the vaccination event. So now they're spying on you before you got it. So let me ask you this, guys. See, this just made my point for me. Let's ask yourself how they knew to start spying on you a week before something they didn't know you were going to get. Oops, they're spying on everybody. And all they're doing is going, oh, this guy just got vaccinated. Let's watch him. And we're going to look back at the week he did before and compare it to the week after. They're spying on everybody. This shouldn't be a surprise. The experts also looked at gyration, radius of gyration on vaccination day, time, opening hours, and home. Do they go home directly after vaccination? They're trying to see how this affects you, guys. They're testing on you. Campaigners against greater state surveillance, which is what this is. This is an egregious violation of your rights. In the UK, said that Britons would be, quote, disturbed to discover they were unwittingly tracked and subjected to behavioral analysis via their phones. That's what it is. The spokesperson for Big Brother Watch said, quote, no one expects that by going to get a vaccine that they will be tracked and monitored by their government, except they should, because as I said, that's exactly what we've talked about. They should have expected that if they watched Whitney Webb and me discuss this back in the middle of last year. It's called pharmacovigilance. It means they plan to monitor everyone for 2 years after vaccination. If you dismiss dissent as conspiracy theory, you will be misinformed. Interesting, isn't it? It's very obvious. And by the way, I always think this is funny. And me is correct, by the way, for those grammatical people out there. wouldn't be I, it would be me in this context, the correct way. That's funny. I always have arguments with that about with certain people, but this is deeply, it goes on to say, and this is Big Brother Watch. This is the same thing I'm tweeting from right here, where it's saying government scientists tracked 18 plus million people to analyze behavioral changes after vaccination. Isn't that crazy? And by the way, the most important thing is that they wouldn't have even told you if they hadn't gotten caught. As usual, you know how that goes, right? But now they're sorry, though. Now they're sorry because we found out. But it says this is deeply chilling and could be extremely damaging to public trust and medical confidentiality. Trust is long gone. Sorry about that, guys. You already lost that of your own accord. Medical confidentiality is also gone and has been for a long time because of that lack of trust that you don't care about. But it says between looming COVID passports and vaccine phone surveillance, this government is turning Britain into a Big Brother state under the cover of COVID. This should be a wake-up call to us all. It's too late. It's already been the Big Brother state, just like the US, but they're trying to push it into the technocratic state, exactly, using the cover of COVID. Cleaned and anonymized the data they claim, but remember, it means nothing because this data is being used by the very people I'm trying to think of that last example. There's two things. One, they can say it's anonymized all they want. They've been caught lying about that more times than I can count. And then how about the fact that whether or not they do that, I can almost promise you there's ways they can just put it right back. Doesn't mean maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they are doing it this way. But I think it's stupid to trust a government that's already been caught lying about this more times than I can count. Just as dumb as, let's say, I don't know, taking an experimental injection from a company that's been caught lying 1,000 times before this, like Pfizer. But, you know, to each their own. The source added the project was approved by, guess what? Ethics Committee at Oxford University, with the data, quote, provided by the company as part of the COVID-19 response for sharing data of the public good. Right. So the Ethics Committee of Oxford is okay with this, even though it's a dramatic violation of ethics of every kind, but they're okay with it. That's why these ethics committees and, you know, these groups they put together for like vaccine effort, you know, or the bioethics group we pointed to that was okay with not allowing consent, you know, it's like, or circumventing child consent. It's the same as these ridiculous fake think tanks that pretend they're just trying to theorize what's best for the country when all they're doing is government agendas. It's a lie. These are public-private partnership kind of manipulations. They don't care about ethics when they are clearly challenging ethics. It's a joke. Sharing data is for the public good, so who cares about your personal rights? It says this data is incidental and automatically generated when people use their mobile phones and is part of their general terms of service. Exactly. Because they manipulate the situation to where you can't use the phone unless you basically agree to sell your whole life. But they've built the world in a way and your life in a way that you feel you can't exist without that phone. So it's the same way they're coercively pushing you in to take the vaccine in your life and pretending like that's not mandatory. They've built this out over decades, just like Corbett is telling you. It's just time to pay attention. They're tracking you right now. And bringing this into the child consent story, part of this that's really upsets me. This is happening in real time. And it's exactly what I told you in this episode. I talked about this. I told you this was happening and they were doing it kind of quietly. Now it's coming out hot. It's right in your face. In San Francisco, children are being vaccinated against COVID, even though their parents have not consented. San Francisco allows 12-year-old children to consent in quote, because their laws previously have made it quite clear that you literally cannot consent because you're not able to have the mental capacity to consent until a later age. It depends on the state, but none of them are 12. So I think in Alabama, it's like 14 or something like that. But the point is, and that's the first one because it's on the first alphabetical list. They are telling you that because COVID, they're just going to change what other documents very clearly outlined these kids are not capable of having. UK, I showed you the same document. It says they're not mentally capable of consent until this age. And I guess that just changed suddenly because COVID's scary. So does that mean that they were always wrong about their ability to have consent at that age? Or do they just change it arbitrarily because COVID? Either one is ridiculous. It says next, they will ask children to inform on their unvaxxed parents. By the way, that's already happening. Now, here is the link, as he shares, thank you, Daniel, to that document. City and County of San Francisco, Department of Public Health, very clearly allowing minors to consent to receive the COVID-19 injection and allowing vaccine providers in the city to rely on that consent. So look, not only are they saying, yeah, this minor can do it without their parents, but they're saying we're also going to legally protect these companies even more than they already are, that consent is okay, that 5-year-old, 6-year-old, 10-year-old child coming up is okay. Well, how about we'll just say 12 and up, even though we already know it's happening below 12, which I'll show you in a minute, that's okay. Because that child said, I'm okay, I understand what's happening, and you're all right, we believe in this. My mom's an anti-vaxxer. They go, oh, come on in, kid. Did you get an Uber? Here's your free ice cream. It's already happening. April 28th. And guess what it says? Violation of or failure to comply with this order is a misdemeanor punishable by fine or imprisonment or both. So now, let's say you're a parent. Your 12-year-old is going to get vaccinated against your wishes, and you're going, no way. Well, now you're in violation of this order, and they can have you arrested. And let's not pretend like that's not happening because of how aggressively this government is warping the brains of children that don't even understand what's happening. Same thing in regard to the transgender discussion, where you have children that are barely even understand the topic, that are being allowed to alter their body for the rest of their life and take medications that will change their hormonal makeup. I'm not saying it's wrong for someone to make that choice, but it's wrong for someone to coerce a child into making that choice long before the government says they're legally capable of making that choice, except in this category, because we've just arbitrarily decided to do it. That's what's happening. Here is a pop-up vaccine clinic in Canada that, guess what, is offering kids free ice cream in exchange for them to get injected with this unapproved experimental injection. I'll show you the video. No parental permission required. Police are, in fact, guarding the front of the shop to stop parents from intervening. Parents, this is unreal.
Going to play, you're going to have a kind of every single one of you. Every single fucking one of you.
Earmuffs.
Every one of you. I'm inviting you now to join us.
Here, let's play here.
To stop this happening. Hey, you're going to have a kind of every single one of you. Every single.
Hold on 1 sec.
And now you're letting children line up for a free ice cream.
Hey, I'm going to play it on. I'm going to use this to play it.
Every one of you. I'm inviting you now to join us. To stop this happening. Right now.
This helps watching them.
And now you're letting children line up for a free ice cream.
Hey, Rise Up. We are at Nathan Phillips Square. We are at the pop-up vaccine clinic.
There's stuff going in those kids' bodies.
And the police have just told us that we are not allowed to be on the Nathan Phillips Square property. So we are out on the sidewalk now.
You're not doing your oath, are you?
None of you. We're trying to speak to the police.
I told you before.
I find it impossible to believe that there's not at least somebody in that crowd right now that goes, you know, this isn't wrong. Do they not have children? Do they not realize what's happening? Like, I don't care if they even agree with the vaccine or whatever's happening or the injection. There's no parents there. There's no consent. They're drawing in children like a bunch of pedophiles with ice cream to go. And look, do you really believe these children are going in there because they want to get injected? They're going in because of the ice cream. That's the point. You are manipulative, and that's not how this should be done. I don't care if it's the best thing for them or not. This is a sacred relationship, and they are just violating this because they've never cared about it, guys. That's the reality we need to understand here. Whether you're in Canada or in the United States, they don't care about what you want for your child. They know better. And in fact, when you really get into it, it's not even about better. They just want what they want, and you don't play a factor in it.
We are mothers and we are pissed off. We are not moving. This is our baby. You are fucking with our baby. We are mothers.
Shut up,
we are fathers. The strike of parenthood has taken over us and we are not moving. Until you start spreading the truth of what is going on over there. That's it. We are pissed. We are at our end. We have been respectful with you. We have been patient with you. We have tried to guide you to the fucking light. But now you are messing with our fucking children.
Sorry for all the cussing, guys. Now, here's something interesting to think about. So we've seen all these, you know, Antifa riots, rally, whatever. You know, there's some people there that aren't rioting. So I was trying to, you know, be fair, even with Black Lives Matter. But clearly the parts that are riots, they're just breaking windows and causing violence, because obviously a part of that agenda was all about that. Right. I mean, there's no denying that this anti-fascist group, that's literally fascist. It's a joke. Same with Black Lives Matter, where they go out and there's parts of them that are clearly part of this agenda. I find that impossible to ignore. But my point is that they'll have this and, oh, look, the cops just let it all go. Right. No real cop presence. I've seen Lou Kradowski point this out in past things 100 times where he goes in the cops and the guys, what are you doing? There's people getting murdered over there. And they go, we were told to stand down. Fine. And I'm not even talking big crowds. I'm talking like a little gathering. So here we are with a small gathering of a bunch of, what, 14 parents, and you've got 25 cops to stop them from going over and stopping the why? Why is this more important than stopping just indiscriminate violence of people's businesses? Think about it. Ask yourself why this is more important to the government, to the authority figures.
We have tried to guide you to the fucking light, but now you are messing with our fucking children, and that is not okay. You want to arrest all of us? Arrest all of us. You want to beat us to the ground? Beat us to the fucking ground! As a mother, I am not moving! No. You fucked up the wrong generation. My children are in...
Well, in any case, very real, very alarming. And this is happening all over the place, guys. Right? It's happening all over the place. And this is the point. It's not a secret. They are openly passing legislation that challenges other laws, which, by the way, makes it null and void, especially when you get into the Constitution. So this is going against what every parent in any circumstance outside of COVID-19 would disagree with. Think about that. There are parents that, just because this is about COVID, challenge everything they believe in. Shows you how easy they are to manipulate. Excuse me. Got the hiccups. But it's really scary that they're luring these kids in. And as I said, I've talked about this a lot. There's a lot of this happening. This is sickening to me how much of this is going on. Now, as this person says, and I agree, I'm sorry for even playing this for you, because it turns my stomach that this is being created. Like, I don't believe for a second that there's somebody out there, this girl just decided one day to go, I'm going to make a video because I care about children. This is what propaganda looks like. And this is being directed at your children.
We're going to get it soon. And then we can play. Yay! I'm so excited. We will get to play together when it's done. The shot. We will get to play together when it's done. The shot. We will get to play together. We will get to play together. We will get to play together when it's done. The shot.
Huh. My God. You are using the child's desire to not have to be closed off again, you know, and isolated to manipulate them into taking something they don't understand, and then simultaneously creating a situation where they don't need consent, and then going, oh, guess what? We'll also give you ice cream. What do you think that creates? An obvious situation where they will go out of their way to do it because, well, I want to play. I like ice cream. You know who does this also? Predators. Child predators do exactly what this is, what this is right here. And it's alarming. And children have a 0% risk, according to the CDC. And by the way, a study that I'm going to show you again today that I haven't before, the CDC has done a great job of obfuscating the original information, which I've shown in a past show, but I'm going to show you another new study that shows you that it's even lower than we thought. 0%, according to the CDC and Canadian government. And they're telling them that they need to get this thing so they can go play. But is that even true? Because they're still already telling people, well, you keep having to wear a mask. We're going to keep kids social distance. So that's also a lie too. So not only are you going to scar these children for life with all the horrific things you're doing, you're going to pretend they get this thing, and then they're going to tell them you're still stuck. This is going to break an entire generation. And this is my point about what they're doing to these children. Now we're on a teen level here, understand, but teen, it goes from all the way from 13 and up, or, you know, maybe 12, depending on people's perspectives. Faced with anti-vaccination parents, which, by the way, in and of itself is a completely mainstream media concocted concept, right? So these parents, like, the only reason this is even a discussion is because the media has pitted teens against their own parents, family, which is just so wrong. It makes my teeth hurt. Like, I want to track these people down and make sure that their kids hate them for the rest of their lives, right? Let's see how that feels to them. You know, like, this is just wrong. Teens are helping each other get the COVID shots. Great. Teens. You mean teens that, like, now because they've altered everything don't need consent anymore, but teens that are some of which are under 18, which means they don't, that they should. I mean, in every possible way, this is wrong. And now they're doing it and the point is they're doing this behind the backs of their parents, and the media here is going, good job, kids. Keep doing it. Keep going around your parents' backs and doing this because we want you to do it, because we're telling you it's right and your parents are dumb and crazy. This should make you upset. The dilemma for some teenagers is, I know vaccines are life-saving, right? As a broad statement, but I don't want to become homeless by defying their parents' wishes. So I know vaccines are life, just like I keep telling you. These are things that are set as standards, that there's no, you start from there and go forward. But is that true? Is this like every other vaccine? No, it's not. This is, in fact, an experimental injection. It's an experimental technology, which even they call it investigational, experimental. The NIH calls it experimental. I'm sure I'll show you at some point in the show. It's obvious. So to say they're all life-saving, by the way, is not even true. But secondly, to just lump this in with the rest of everything we've seen before, even though half of that's the illusion in and of itself, is just simply dishonest. But this is what they're talking about. And they want this to be a positive. They're selling this to you as, good job, guys. Good way to get around those crazy parents of yours. And by the way, this kid is not just some average kid. He's been in lots of media things in the past. These are ploys, guys. We are seeing things used against your family. And here's Dr. Naomi Wolf pointing out evil. The CDC director publicly, who is, what's her name? Right, Rochelle Walensky, publicly encouraged children to ask for the vaccine, the injections. She's on record openly going, kids, go out there and ask and get it, right? Don't listen to your parents, right? Understand, this is in the context of already deciding they don't need consent. They're going around their parents and saying, go ask for the vaccine. Go get it at school. Go get it in your gymnasium. Go to Krispy Kreme. Get an Uber and let it take you to a place where we're not asking for consent. This is the worst scandal she says she's witnessed in the U.S. in a lifetime. CDC investigating heart inflammation in COVID-19 vaccinated teens, right? So we're telling them, go ahead and do it. You're all good. You have a 0% risk. But now suddenly we're also investigating something else we didn't know because we didn't do the proper research, which is kids having heart inflammation. Not a joke. This is May 23rd. They're now investigating something else. You know, when they investigate anaphylaxis, or they investigate the blood clots, and investigate, these are all things that would have been investigated in a normal trial process. But it's happening now because we didn't do that. And now it's popping up in children. And they're going, oh, but keep taking it though, kids, while we investigate whether this will kill you and hurt you or have heart inflammation, which can be very serious, or cause a blood clot, or any number of things that we already know are possible. Crazy. CDC investigating reports of mild, and this is what they call it, mild heart problems, right? Because we know how those mild heart problems are just no big deal, right? And it's and this is what I keep telling you, every single part they have, problem, anaphylaxis, heart disease or heart inflammation or blood clots or on and on and on. And there's a lot of them. It's always really rare circumstance. And as I keep saying, that's probably not even true. I know it's not. But at what point do a whole bunch of rare things happening simultaneously become no longer rare? It's pretty stupid. They keep, it's really rare. It's not though. And in the context of 0% risk, rare is too much. But they're investigating this now. So I wonder what will happen to all the kids that are currently being injected with this without knowing this is happening. Because you know what? If informed consent was really happening, one of the first things they would be told is, oh, by the way, teens are having a heart thing right now with this and blah, 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 blah. Nope, they're not telling you because they don't follow informed consent. Doctors for COVID Ethics also points out on May 23rd, following reports of myocarditis, inflammation of the heart muscle, which we just showed you, after COVID-19 vaccination, Seattle Children's Hospital, guess what? They're advising their own staff to consider a diagnosis of myocarditis or pericarditis in any evaluation of chest pain following specifically COVID vaccination. What do you know about that? These are doctors who are deciding that that's enough of an issue to just basically consider that diagnosis specifically as a primary diagnosis after the vaccination. And remember, the myocarditis and pericarditis are things that are specifically associated with the spike protein in the vaccine, the injection. I don't know why I can't call it injection. It's an injection. That's what I need to keep saying. But this is all we see. And I got to say, look, this is in no way a knock on her identity or what she is or whatever. It's you know my opinion. I don't care what you want to do. Just don't force me to do anything. You can call yourself whatever you want. In fact, as people even get irritated me with for or irritated with me for, is I'll call them what they want to. I don't care. As long as you're not forcing me personally, Chelsea Manning, her, I don't care. It doesn't bother me at all. Call her, I don't care. Is this a man? Yes, it is. But I'll call it a woman, her a woman. Him a woman, I don't care. It doesn't bother me. I know a lot of great people that are trans. It doesn't bother me at all. The problem is the agenda around it all and how they're trying to manipulate your children in other ways. This person right here, as Rand Paul pointed out, is completely okay with manipulating children as young as 5 years old into potentially changing their sex. That is sickening to me, and that is sick. There's no way around that. I don't care if you disagree with me or not. That's wrong. And it's just as wrong to inject a five-year-old with a vaccine that's never been tested properly, an injection. I just right away did it again. But here's the point. Oh, what I was saying that for is that that discussion has nothing to do with my take on her as a person. Everything about her just screams Saturday Night Live skit. Am I wrong? Every time I watch her, I'm like, this seems like it would be on Saturday Night Live. The way she moves, the way she talks, the way she acts, it seems like she's uncomfortable in everything that she is. And I'm not even talking about her identity as a trans person. It's just funny to me how the way that she acts, just watch for yourself. It's almost as if she's putting on a show for people. And I believe to a degree that might be what's happening. But just she's saying everyone age 12 or older is eligible to receive a vaccine at no cost, regardless of immigration or health insurance status, 12 or older. So we're already on the path where it's in public discussion that 12-year-olds can go in and get this without consent of a parent. Right? This is the same person that's okay with that in other really alarming ways, as Rand Paul has pointed out. Now just watch the way she, just for a second.
As a pediatrician, I am
a pediatrician, by the way, which just blows my mind.
As a pediatrician, I am so excited that the Pfizer vaccine is now available to anyone 12 and older. The vaccine has gone through rigorous testing and thorough review by the FDA.
No, it hasn't. That is a flat out lie. Even the FDA is saying this is not approved and it's an unapproved product. There's another word they used, unapproved. And they state in their own documentation that it has not gone through that. And that's why it's not approved yet. Right. But she's happy to lie because this is just going along with the narrative. That's why she was put in as the token trans person to go along with the narrative.
The CDC, and an independent panel of experts.
Oh, you mean like Pfizer and Johnson, and very independent.
Thousands of adolescents between 12 to 15 years of age were in the clinical trials. And among those who received it, the vaccine was 100% effective.
False.
At preventing COVID-19.
That's not true. And that's simply not true because there were people that died. There were people that were put out because they didn't take the second shot. They gamed this. And look, and we're going to pretend like 100% is ever, ever, ever a thing. And on top of that, the reality that we know that's not the case because they just told us that it's only against stopping illness and not even in regard to 100%. But it's just, I don't know. It kills me how obviously that she's just going along to get along. And by the way, what I mean is just kind of the way that she's like, and on with the Pfizer. Like, it's just so like the way she's acting screams just disingenuous. That's the right word for it. Disingenuous. And it's like, she's putting on a show, it's strange to me. And that's not about her personally. I say the same thing about a lot of people out there. And funny, the only reason I'm even saying that is just because I know people will attack it, but I shouldn't be doing that. But it's the fakeness, the utter fake everything about our government. And she's just really bad at being fake. That's what it sounds like. That's what it feels like to me. But stressing children, right? It's okay. 12-year-olds. And I find it very alarming that the same person that's okay with the idea of the trans, a 5-year-old kid. But Here's the same thing coming from Pfizer, the independent experts that we're willing to trust, according to Trump as well. They volunteered to help change the world, right? Since when have 12 to 15 year olds been able to volunteer for an experimental unapproved injection in the COVID clown world? We are sharing real kids thanking real heroes. What about the ones that died that we've already talked about? I guess we're not going to hear what they have to say. The 12 to 15 year old COVID-19 vaccine clinical trial volunteers who are helping us get back to a world where kids can go back to doing what they love. So they're a 0% risk. They don't need this thing, but they're the ones that have to suffer until you can inject everybody for whatever reason. Science will win. You're damn right it will, but you, just not for you when you're fake information and your manipulative everything, but real heroes. Now, how long will they be heroes until they suddenly start disagreeing with you, like with the heroes in the nursing industry when 60% of them said they don't want this thing and they just kind of stop being heroes, right? This is about idealizing people they want to use these children against their own families. They want to use these people against everyone around them. They want these kids to go out and go, this is what's right for you. And if they know that you can rapidly politicize a young kid and get them to be so certain about everything they think they know and go out there and scream like a Greta kind of a thing. This is crazy wrong in every possible way. 0% risk, and you're giving them risk so you can test on them. And by the way, that means they're still testing on everybody. They would have done this in a normal process if it would have been done normally before this. As I said, well, here, I fixed it for you. The 12 to 15 year old COVID-19 injection test subjects who are helping figure out just how dangerous this new therapy is can now go back to having 0% risk for what we just experimentally injected them for. Hooray for human experimentation on the vulnerable. That's what it should say. Here is one of the most upsetting things I've seen in a long time in this whole process. 8-month-year-old New York boy named Enzo becomes youngest person in the world to receive 2 doses of Pfizer vaccine injection. 8-month-year-old. His parents, who, by the way, were both doctors, said he had no reaction to either shot, which is such a, there's no way that's true. It's just not. That's my opinion. I simply don't believe that. Based on whatever, I mean, I don't know a single person who's gotten this who hasn't had a sore arm or something. And when I say sore, I mean the big old red spot on their arm. I know somebody personally who's got a big red mark on their arm. Like, it's very clear. There's a problem here. But this is wrong for multiple reasons. You understand these are doctors who gave it to their eight-month-old baby. This is not a trial. This is not in some vaccine trial. And here's the point. Anyone care to ask how this is even legal? I guess laws only apply to those questioning the narrative, right? Here is the document. Very clearly says unapproved 12 years of age or older. This is from May 19th. They've revised this. Here's what it says. Under mandatory requirements for Pfizer biotech COVID-19 administration. Under emergency use. It says the following items are required. Again, says all requirements in bold must be met. Must. Here's what it says. Pfizer biotech is authorized for adults or for individuals 12 years of age or older. That is one of the requirements that must be met. That's as of May 19th. That didn't change. It's the same way right now. Okay. So how exactly, if they're very clear about this being a mandatory requirement, that these doctors can just be like, yeah, we just did it to our 8-month-old, no big deal. And no one cares. That's a crime. It's a very easily verifiable crime. They just tested on this kid. This is the same as this is as if there was some unapproved anything else. I don't care what it was, that they just gave it to him because they said, well, why not? Let's try it on him. Because they believe it'll help him. But that's not how that works. This is the kind of brainwashing that's taking place in COVID clown world where these people believe that it's okay because it's just okay because COVID okay no matter what, or vaccine okay no matter what. Like, this is what they believe, that this is the best thing since sliced bread and everyone should take it no matter what. Oh, if you think otherwise, you're one of those crazy anti-vaxxers. Like, this has warped their brain. This really bothers me because it's an obvious crime. It's verifiable and nobody cares. But if we go out there and challenge something about anything else, there's people trying to put us in jail right now for challenging things that we can prove. I want someone to find out who these people are, and I want someone to push this. I want someone to show this to somebody and say, this is a crime. Where's the accountability for these children? You think this 8-month-old had any idea what's happening? It makes me sick. It's not fake. It's very real. And again, as I said, and by the way, that was censored, like all the rest of it. The desperate push to experimentally inject your child is happening in real time. Now, here's the point about the age that I want to reiterate, because I've said this a lot, and I want to give you another example other than the CDC website. Assessing the age specificity of infection fatality rates for COVID-19. Systematic review, meta-analysis, and public policy implications. So this is the best you're going to find. This is compiling all the information, not just one location. So this is it. Now, it doesn't mean it's guaranteed right, because they could all be wrong. But if we're trusting the science, as they want to keep saying, then that's what this would be. Here's what it says. The systematic review encompassed 113 studies, right? So this isn't one study that found this is the infection fatality rate. They grabbed all 113 studies that have been done about this topic, of which 27 of them from 34 different geographical locations satisfied the inclusion criteria and were included in the meta-analysis. So this is very well done all across the world. Here's what it says. Our analysis finds an exponential relationship between age, infection fatality rate, and COVID. And we know this. The estimated age-specific infection fatality rate is very low for children and younger adults. Guess what? 0.002% at the age of 10 and 0.01% at the age of 25. 0.01% at 25 years old. Now, it goes on to make the argument that it goes up exponentially, even to the point where they claim it can be 15% at 85. I don't buy that, because we know that these things have been manipulated, right? What this is simply doing is just taking the studies that have been done, and all those studies are simply taking the available data sets and breaking it down, right? So the point is that we have to remember that we have the PCR false positives, we have the combination of influenza and pneumonia with COVID-19. It's all public information. We have all sorts of reasons this is definitely lower than it seems. So even that would even lower that information. That's why 0.001 something, I think, is what the argument is for children under 5 or something like from CDC. I would argue that both of those are much lower when taken into full account, as well as think about like the 85 over 85s in New York, where they were jamming ventilators down their throats and killing 90% of them for months and months and months. Let's not pretend like they didn't have a crazy increase on the number we think we have. So 15%, I just don't buy it. But the point of this specific set right here is about children. 0.002%, and I think that's too high in and of itself, which breaks down to a 0% statistically. 0%. At the very least, there's a much higher rate of adverse event, including specifically blood clots and everything else. They are at more risk of adverse events than anything else. And 0.01 for 25 years old? 25. So you're telling me there's 25 and down are walking around out there with basically zero risk, and these people are losing everything, losing their jobs, their businesses, their homes, their families, and it's all based on basically zero? Well, that's what the science says. But they don't care about science anymore. They only care about what the science, which is just what they say it is. Now, bringing this over into another very important topic before we jump into some more vaccine stuff. Where are we at here on time? We're looking good. Circulating SARS-CoV-2 vaccine antigen detected in the plasma of mRNA, so the Moderna vaccine recipients. What do you know about that? Isn't this discussion all over again about the plasma that they said was fake news? Yes. Looks like they just missed this one, right? This is very new. This is May 20th, 2021. So when they published that fake news, they say, oh, fake news, that's totally fake. They didn't do any research, because they would have found this. And it would have said very clearly that, well, obviously there's an issue here. There's clearly a problem with the plasma. Well, let's get into it. Now, I have the full thing, but let's just read the abstract from this page first. It says SARS-CoV-2 proteins were measured in longitudinal plasma samples collected from 13 participants who received two doses of Moderna's injection. 11 of 13 participants showed detectable levels of SARS-CoV-2 protein as early as day one and as late as after 30 days, which we'll show you in the actual study, after first vaccine injection. Clearance of detectable SARS-CoV-2 protein correlated with the production of IgG and IgA. Now, the point is that you have this showing up in your blood. Now, here's the study itself. Now, first of all, I want to point this out. This is not mRNA. It is MODRNA, which it's listed right on Pfizer and Moderna's information. It's a version of mRNA, but it's a modified version. It's not natural. So when they keep calling these mRNA vaccines, that's just not true. They are, I don't know if you say mod RNA or MOD RNA, but it's not just mRNA. It is modified RNA. And you can look it up on Wikipedia and elsewhere. They're different things. So it's interesting that the media and everyone else has just run full, you know, forward with only mRNA. At the very least, that's not accurate, is it? But as it goes on, it says critical data demonstrating the direct production of spike protein via translation from the Moderna injection in these studies are missing, precluding a full understanding of the vaccine mechanism. So let me just make sure you understand what that just said. This is a real, the current study on the Clinical Infectious Diseases, Oxford Academic, that is saying as of May 20th, 2021, clinical data demonstrating the direct production of spike protein via translation from Moderna's injection in the studies is simply missing, meaning they just can't understand how this vaccine mechanism actually works. Now, does that mean that they never included it or they removed it? And either way, why is that not alarming? You know who knows that for sure? Your government, Pfizer. They know that's not there. They know that the vaccine insert's completely blank. Why? And why is that not discussed in the media? Because they're all playing a game and deceiving you guys. There's so much information that's plainly obvious. The funny thing is you can talk about how, you know, the vaccine inserts are completely blank and everyone's going to go, oh, that's that fake news story from InfoWar or whatever. Well, no, it's very real and we can see 1,000 examples of it. But if you've already decided that it's fake news, you'll think it's fake news because you're not very smart. I only say that for people that choose to ignore information because they were told it's wrong. That's not very smart. But what it's telling you there is that in this study, they've omitted or never found out information about how this actually functions. That scares the crap out of me. Because the reality is, we know there's a lot of weird stuff happening here. We know the discussions of self-amplifying mRNA in regard to how it was first discovered, which means it just continues producing, or the fact, and by the way, that seems to add a lot of possibilities here, or we'll touch on the self-spreading one again today about how they're saying it's fake news, even though it's very clearly real. It says, here we provide evidence that circulating SARS-CoV-2 proteins are present in the plasma of participants vaccinated with the Moderna injection. Well, what do you know about that? Right there. Pretty damn clear, right? So the thing that's causing the problems, the proteins, which antibodies are proteins, right? This is so you understand the discussion of the antibody Red Cross discussion. Individuals who have received COVID vaccination are not eligible to donate convalescent plasma. And somebody recently told me, I think I just was stating it incorrectly, convalescent just simply meaning you're sick or recovering, which by the way would apply to just about anybody in this context. But why are you recovering if you've got the injection? Right? This feels like a political statement from Red Cross that just gives them the opportunity to make sure they don't take any blood from anybody who's been injected. That's what it sounds like to me. But going back to this, they're present in the plasma of people who are injected. That's what they found. Going forward, it says, we hypothesize that the cellular immune responses triggered by T cell activation, which would occur days after the vaccine, after the vaccination, lead to direct killing of cells presenting spike protein and an additional release of spike into the bloodstream. Well, there you go. Two things. The killing of cells and the release of more of these proteins into your bloodstream, knowing that the proteins are the problem, which we'll show you again in a minute, which then clearly suggests that it's causing all these problems, including blood clots and all the blood issues we're going to see again. But the fact that it's telling you that it leads to direct killing of the cells presenting spike proteins. So remember what this news report just said about what this was doing.
Your COVID-19 vaccine, you're going to want to listen to this. The Red Cross says anyone who has received their COVID-19 vaccine cannot donate convalescent plasma to help other COVID-19 patients in hospitals. That plasma is made up of antibodies from people who have recovered from the virus, but the vaccine wipes out those antibodies, making the convalescent plasma ineffective in treating other COVID-19 patients.
It wipes out those antibodies. That sounds like the opposite of what it should be doing, right? Isn't that interesting? Because this isn't a normal vaccine technology, which does that. This is something completely different. So who knows what it's going to accomplish? It definitely doesn't seem to be accomplishing what they say it does. As this study itself is telling you, well, this seems to be doing a lot more than what we understand it's doing. Going forward, it says, nonetheless, evidence of systemic detection of spike and S1 protein production from the Moderna injection is significant and has not yet been described in any vaccine study, likely due to limitations in assay sensitivity and timing assessment. So this is basically the evidence of the systemic, it seems like the production of this to continue in your blood, or at least for a period of time that doesn't go away, it's not been discussed anywhere. Which, by the way, is probably exactly why they don't have this information in their own, the advisor doesn't even have how this mechanism even works. Probably because they're touching on something here that's part of the problem. It says S1 antigen production after the initial vaccination can be detected by day one and is present beyond the site of injection and associated regional lymph nodes. I don't think I highlighted that part. Son of a gun. Well, I recommend, please read this for yourself. It's actually not that long. I don't want to take the time to try to skim through and find it, but it talks about the timing. 30 or 29. I don't want to take the time to find it as I do that. Anyway, the point is that they're discussing the time frame of how long this stays in your body. And it goes long past the injections, right? Which seems to suggest quite something a bit different than what they want you to think. In any case, what this shows you is that the concept of these spike proteins in your body seem to be pretty prolific. So ask yourself why the FDA on May 19th is saying don't get an antibody test to evaluate whether you've had it after vaccine, including after vaccination. Just don't do it. I'm not kidding. That's it. Why? Well, because they don't work very well. And so we just don't want you getting a wrong opinion. Not kidding. Does that sound like an honest response to anybody, even though they were telling us to do this before and now suddenly they don't want you to? It says, quote, the FDA is reminding the public of the limitations of COVID-19 antibody. Oh, you mean exactly like what I was saying back before and got censored for? Not a joke. And I'm not even talking about PCR. A serology testing and providing additional recommendations about the use of antibody tests in people who received a COVID-19 vaccination. It says antibody tests should not be used at this time to determine immunity or protection against COVID-19 at any time. And especially after a person has received a COVID-19 vaccination. Now explain that to me. Why would you not want to know whether you got antibodies? Well, because maybe you then find out that you don't need the injection. Because then if you've already got antibodies, why would you need something else? That's a problem. But then also, don't do it after you get the injection. Why? Because maybe you'll find out that you also don't have antibodies. Something pretty weird here, don't you think? Or maybe, just maybe, because we're talking about proteins, which is exactly what this discovers, maybe you'll find out this. Maybe you'll find out that your body is awash with these things, and that's a problem. Maybe you'll find out a lot of things they just don't want you seeing. So they go, no, don't take this thing anymore, forever. Just don't do it anymore, at any time. At any time. Done. Guys, these people seem to be reeling right now. I mean, it's just embarrassing to watch how obviously they're trying to play this game. I mean, it's very clear, guys. The Red Cross is it's sort of like the box of masks that says, doesn't work. Red Cross is going, we don't want it, guys. We don't want this because there's something weird here. It's not even weird. The news just told you it kills the antibodies in the plasma from people who have, I mean, there's a problem. Interesting, huh? Well, here is the article, one of them, that I cover, the spike protein. This is back on April 26th. The spike protein in COVID vaccines is putting you at serious risk, according to the science, which is the truth. And I go into a lot. And I'm going to show you two really quickly of the ones in this article, but there's ones we talk about on the next one I did after this. But we're going to cover this continuously. The reality that this is a very real problem. And I recommend you check out Taylor's interviews on The Last American Vagabond with both Michael Yeadon and Dr. Bhakti, both of which touch on this very important topic. Michael Yeadon's interview on BitChute is our most viewed video on all the platform. So I recommend you watch it. It's like 150,000 views right now. But here is one of the most important, April 30th, 2021. The novel coronavirus spike protein plays additional key role in illness. Now, we talked about this right when it came out, right? This has been getting a lot of attention again recently, which is great. But it's important to remember that this is not new. This has been here. And this is a very real thing that the media is ignoring. As it says, again, that of course, what they're talking about in this context is COVID-19. But the point is, proving that the spike protein alone was enough to cause disease. That's all you need to see, guys. If that's the case, then having spike proteins flooded throughout your bloodstream, or at least more than one that shouldn't be there after the fact, can lead to these same problems, such as blood clots, such as everything else we're talking about here. And here's the other one that jumps right to the main conclusion. Not in a bad way, I shouldn't say jump to conclusions, but you know, does the research and comes to a good conclusion on this real and obvious possibility. It says SARS-CoV-2 spike protein elicits cell signaling in human host cells, implications for possible consequences of the vaccines themselves. This is on January 8th, or technically published on the 11th. Vaccines that introduce the spike protein, like all the ones we're talking about right now, into your body to elicit virus neutralizing antibodies are currently being developed. Now, remember, this is on January, which they were already being injected in people's arms. Thus, it is important to be aware that the spike protein produced by the new COVID vaccines may also affect the host cells. We should monitor the long-term consequences of these vaccines carefully, which they're doing in your body, especially when they are administered to otherwise healthy individuals, like the children, that are not in any risk. Further investigation on the effects of this spike protein on human cells is needed. They don't care. This is the reality, and this is what this is all about. They know this stuff, guys, and this is what people like James Lyon Weiler and RFK Jr. and Del Bigtree were yelling about before this came around. COVID-19 can affect the blood. Its spike protein may be the culprit. Well, if that's the case, that means that the spike protein can affect the blood. This is February 8th. This is even before the last one, or the Salk one. It says, after dying of COVID-19, there was something very wrong with the patient's blood. Interesting. The autopsy reports revealed COVID-19 patients were suffering from huge amounts of thick coagulated blood, and dysfunctional blood vessels were tearing through body tissue instead of repairing it. Highly uncommon side effects of respiratory diseases. Well, you know what? You know how else we could figure this out? By checking and doing autopsies on the people who we claim died from vaccination. That's what they're not doing. Don't you wonder why? They claim they are, but you can talk to these people. I'm doing due diligence and finding as many as I can. And the reality is that literally one person I know of, one, because they demanded it, have gotten an actual autopsy. And guess what they found? The same things we're talking about, blood clots and issues. The reality is that these aren't being done. So right now, you should be demanding this kind of thing, and you could find out if whether after the vaccination, this is the same thing they saw, because the spike protein, which, by the way, if we're talking about the bioweapon discussion, that seems to suggest to me, if you believe this topic, which I believe there's plenty there that could very well be the case, that I would argue that implies that it is very clearly manipulated, just like Luc Monnier, I forget how to pronounce his last name, the Nobel laureate, claims that this was clearly edited, altered with HIV and whatever else. So that means the spike protein, which, by the way, you could find research on going back long time with Fauci and everybody else, looks like it was added. Now, why would that be? Certainly possible. And then we can see how this translates into either a mistake or a very sinister plan. In any case, we should be looking into whether that's happening. But it says, quote, one of the most perplexing and devastating effects of this disease is the scenario where 3 or 4 weeks after being hospitalized with pneumonia, people under the age of 50 are back home, they feel fine, and then all of a sudden they have a stroke and die. Right, exactly. Which seems to be happening after the injection. A lot. And all they can do is go, no, it's probably something else. Weird, right? Now it says, the doctor here, who recently published his hypothesis in the journal Viruses, believes the spike protein found on the surface of the virus might mimic proteins that regulate blood vessels and control the formation of blood clots. Well, that's great. That means then, I mean, it's facetious, that means that the same blood spike protein in the injection that's in your blood could also do that, which could explain why many of the non-respiratory complications of COVID-19 or the things we see following the injection that nobody wants to talk about. Well, here is Rand Paul in an interview posted by RFK Jr., who said that because he had COVID, or so he was told, he has acquired natural immunity. And I'm so glad that he's bringing this up, because why is nobody talking about that? If we're supposed to believe that a lot of this country already got sick, why wouldn't they have immunity? And why don't they care to find out? FDA is going, no, don't look. Don't use that test. Don't even look at it. Don't ever do it. Right? Clearly, they don't want you to know. But that's the point, because they don't want that to what they want this to be about the injection. But Rand Paul is kind of bucking the system at the moment. He says some scientists not only agree, but warn that people who previously had the virus may in fact be at risk of getting even more sick when they get the injection. Again, which you know is called antibody-dependent enhancement, which we've shown you many times. So it's not a secret, and the science backs up what he's saying, right? The science backs up both things they're saying. Natural immunity, according to the NIH, is lasting after recovery from natural COVID-19 or whatever we're talking about. January 29th, 2021, lasting immunity found after natural engagement, okay? Here's informed consent. This is posted on December 2020. But it says COVID-19 vaccines designed to elicit neutralizing antibodies may sensitize vaccine recipients to, in fact, more severe disease than if they hadn't gotten vaccinated at all. And it goes on to say the specific, very clear, and significant, meaning very dangerous COVID-19 risk of antibody-dependent enhancement should have been and should now be prominently and independently disclosed. It wasn't, and it's not now. To all research subjects, including people that are in trials and people that are currently taking it, in order to meet the medical ethics standards of informed consent. They don't care. They ignored this. They don't care. They're not doing it. Is that called trusting the science? This is the only one. Okay. So he's telling you the reality, whether or not he's really on your side. Remains to be seen. I don't trust any of these people. But he's challenging it, going, I'm not going to get this because I've got it. Now, the media is flipping out about this. Oh, my God, Rand is putting everybody at risk. Just get the injection. But why does that make sense? If you got natural immunity that they say lasts, why are we concerned about that? Isn't that the end goal of the same thing you're telling him to get? Yes, so they say. So why are they so upset? Because they're challenging the narrative. He's dissenting against what they think is supposed to happen. That's all it is. And all the information backs up what he's saying and what we're saying. It's alarming that they're trying to push this over the top of something that's already there. In fact, because on top of that, the reality meaning that he would get even more sick based on what we know the science has already stated. Now, on top of that, how about the fact that it doesn't even work? How about the fact that here's the DOD telling you they've had 1,640 breakthrough cases, whatever this absurdity is going to continue to explode because they're trying to cover it up, but it's come out all over the place and their numbers don't even add up. It was only a couple hundred, and now it's 1,640 breakthrough cases among vaccinated beneficiaries. Like, if you've seen over 1,500 people get sick, so we're told afterward, that either means this thing's getting them sick or it's not working. And that's a huge caveat. They know, but we already know that. We already know they've admitted that it doesn't actually stop transmission. So why are we so confused about this? Because they're trying to play on the ignorance of the populace that believes it still, that believes it's 100% effective because that man that works with the public health tells them so. 100% against this thing, even though it's a complete lie. They believe it. They don't listen to people like us. So they tell them that it's only breakthrough cases, and they go, oh, that's why. It's just breakthrough. But it says, the Defense Department has logged more than 1,640 breakthrough cases of COVID infections, or of COVID-19 in beneficiaries. I love how they use that term, like, oh, they're so they benefit from it, who have been fully vaccinated, including 24 cases who have been hospitalized. And there's already been deaths, right? So if you can get hospitalized and die, clearly it doesn't do a good job of reducing hospitalization and death. But it says, quote, if you do the math, the injection, 99.9% effective for our beneficiaries in preventing the infection. 99.999% effective at preventing hospitalization and 100% effective, right? So all they're doing is saying, based on what the numbers we have in front of us, but God, this is so stupid and so honest. It's so blatantly dishonest because of what I'll show you next. The numbers are different. Or how about the fact that she's over here saying, here's 223 people that died after these breakthrough cases. That's the CDC director, right? Okay. Well, here's military.com citing that is 100% effective at preventing death, even though we know that's not true based on their own information. And then the fact is that they're basing this off people that they're grading and just ignoring other ones. How about the people that were over 28 cycle threshold or the people that were just sick but not hospitalized and died? They're not including all the same data they are on the other side of this argument, which we'll get into next. But to argue that it's 100% or 99% anything is just a complete lie based on all the actual data, not just these 1,640 cases that you've decided to talk about. But it says the Centers for the CDC last week said that it planned to monitor breakthrough infections that result in hospitalization or death. That's it. Only. A switch, of course, from what they normally do in regard to cases normally. Why? Well, of course, they said they want to make changes to ensure that they are gathering data on cases of the biggest concern. Oh, great. So when it benefited you, you just swept up everything you could to scare us because you admitted that you did this to scare us. But then once it's on the other side of it and you want to hide how bad it is, well, then you go, well, we're only going to get the ones that get really bad. And we're only going to use cycle threshold 28 to make sure we ignore all the, like it's, or actually technically to make sure we get the accurate information. In a time when we want that to be the case, or even lower, to be honest, and we make sure we shoot over 40 when we want it to look even worse. That's in regard to normal cases before the vaccination injection. It's just stupid. So do you not care about the biggest concerns before or even currently? Because by the way, they're still doing that in regard to cases. They're still counting it. They're still counting it. Just people that are told they're sick with a PCR test. They're still counting anybody who's not, maybe they're just, doesn't even show symptoms. They still count it. Why? Because they believe in asymptomatic despite the science that says it doesn't exist, right? This is trusting the science world. But here's again the point. So how is it possible that the Department of Defense can count 1,640? She can say here that so far there's more than 84 million that have been vaccinated, but we've got less than 6,000 breakthrough cases. Well, that's a huge jump from 223 on May 17th. Here she is on April 20th, saying 6,000 breakthrough cases.
Second, last week we released data on the so-called number of so-called breakthrough infections of people who are now available on the CDC website at cdc.gov with information on how to protect others, and it will help us end this. Together, taking vaccinated, we have only received reports of less than 6,000 breakthrough cases.
Oh, you can't use only in 6,000. It's just so funny how they constantly try to downplay what it looks like. Okay, but so April 20th, right? So here, May 17th, it's odd how the numbers just disappeared, right? Here's what she says.
Aware of any fully vaccinated individual who has died of COVID-19?
We do keep a track of this on our website. We are asking hospitals and healthcare facilities to send us cases of what we're calling breakthrough infections. They occur. They are rare. We are aware.
Oh, good. So now it's not so-called. Now it's not so-called breakthrough. Now it's just breakthrough. Good. Downplay. It's funny how they always do that.
223 as of May 10th that are among the 115 million people that had been vaccinated by that time. I also want to convey that now many, many hospitals are screening people for COVID when they come in. So not all of those 223 cases who had COVID actually died of COVID. They may have had mild disease, but died, for example, of a heart attack.
All right. So they all died. So 223 people who came in for COVID died after getting injected with this experimental and approved thing. So 223 died, right? So how can you pretend 100% against death? You can't. It's a lie. Now, I actually forgot. Here's what's funny. 6,000 back in April 20th, and we're going to pretend like where's that number? Where's the count? No one's keeping count because they don't want you to see it. If it's 6,000 back in April, you can only imagine what it is now. Well, yes, the CDC is openly manipulating the data to prop up vaccine effectiveness. New policies will artificially deflate breakthrough infections in the vaccinated, while the old rules continue to inflate case numbers in the unvaccinated. Exactly. It's an obvious ploy, as we said before. The link is in the document. It says for cases with a known PCR cycle threshold value, submit only specimens with a cycle threshold value of under 28 to CDC for sequencing. Meanwhile, they're allowing over up to 40 in regard to everybody else before. That's a guaranteed way to inflate the numbers. You guys have all seen this. I've covered this already. But they are playing the game here. Now, where are we at? About 2 hours. I wanted to try to keep it there in general. I'm going to try to go through this last point here. Now, I wanted to go over this again. I'm just going to say this pretty quickly. So the VAERS information was really – maybe I'll just fly through this. This is important, actually, because it's really interesting. Here's a report, and I'm seeing this. This is the same report we're getting from Defender. 4,201 deaths reported to the CDC following the vax. 2,228 reactions, which is just unbelievable. And remember, that's not it. Where was that? There it is. 1%, as we always try to remember to let you know that the Health and Human Services and Harvard found very clearly that fewer than 1% of vaccine adverse events are actually reported. And on top of that, that adverse events from drugs and vaccines are in fact common, but just underreported. the literal opposite of what the media tells you every day. That's important. Now, going back to this, there's a point I want to make here, because I was recently going over the VAERS data that I looked at myself, and I'm going to show you again real quick. And I find this to be quite interesting. Now, this is a number we're seeing pretty consistently across the reports, 4,201. Now, this, I believe, is just a mistake on my part, which is an important point to make in any case, because just because people, like I always say with joking to people that actually come after me, is like, you know, you try speaking for 4 hours and see if you slip, see if you say everything exactly the way you intended. But this research is quite interesting. Now, I showed you the other day, this is the way you look this stuff up. And I showed you how we're at looking at age, vaccine type, year, month, day of death, age, COVID-19, and so on. Now, I think what I didn't do was coming all the way down here and putting death, yes or no, which I don't think it's counterintuitive to me. It doesn't make sense, seeing as how you already clicked year, month, and day of death. And that's the only statistic you're looking for. But I don't have to defend it. I'm just saying that this was the one that I found, where you showed all these, and it's saying under 3 years old, and it's saying total 69. Now, I don't understand what's going on right there. Because if you look it up based on including that death at the bottom, whether they died, this lines up more accurately with what they're reporting. You can see here that this is actually, now it says 4, and you can go down to the bottom and see the number actually reflect more accurately to what we're talking about, 4,482. So it's gone up since, or it seems it might have, since they reported it. The point being, one, that we're all capable of making mistakes, myself included. And the only thing that matters is being able to own that and just saying, yep, I made a mistake. I screwed up. I was wrong. Now, I'm still not even sure about why that makes sense, but it's clear because, you know, bottom line is I trust the research of the defender quite, but I look into it myself. And that's why I found the number that I think does correlate with what they're saying. So it does seem to make sense, but it's important to always keep an open mind, even on things that you think you are correct about, right? That's why I'm able to do this and go, oh, looks like I think I made a mistake. But really quickly on the same point, on this, I don't understand, because it says very clearly COVID-19 total 69, and it's under 3 years, and it's showing, like, so I just don't even understand how not putting death, maybe that's including all adverse events, but it does very clearly say year, month of death. I don't know. Unknown, maybe that's the caveat. Seems odd to me, because you'll find that this is where I found that number at the bottom. It seems very high, and this does show the total. In any case, it does seem like I would like maybe somebody to go through these links and look into it for me. Let me know if this looks like it specifically on this data right here. That's all you really need. That, COVID, all, and not that. And tell me what you think that comes out to. But in any case, confirming this information, 4,201 deaths, which is very alarming. And again, even to make that same point using what seems to be the accurate data, look, you can see right that there's still 3 recordable deaths for under 3 years old. It's the same point. I don't understand how this is even happening and how it's allowed that people can inject their 8-month-old baby and pretend like that's not a very obvious crime, because everything COVID vaccine is acceptable today. It's scary to watch how obviously dangerous that is. But, you know, go forward, 64 deaths reported. You know, a lot of these things are wrong. In any case, this one. Oh, actually, these two, what I wanted to show you, which I found interesting, this is just, one of these is total, one of them is Pfizer. That was the other point I was going to make. So take note of the Pfizer one being almost half. Isn't that telling? Weird how nobody wants to talk about the Pfizer ones, right? So these are deaths, understand, okay? So if the total is, that point of that little cross there means there's like an asterisk based on like combination of things. It looks like the one they're reporting, 4,201 is the accurate, but they're saying this can end up going over 100 total. That's why their percentage 106, blah, blah, blah. Statistic stuff. But the point is, if you're taking even the 4,201 number and looking at this as the total combination, and then looking at just Pfizer and realizing that half of them are from 1,873 out of, and this is for all COVID vaccines. What does that tell you? It tells you that specifically the Pfizer one seems to, at the very least on paper, based on the reported things that are unverified, to be the most dangerous by and large. Well, it's exactly what I expected based on the spike protein, the mRNA platform, everything else. Because the whole point of this mRNA platform is how this is being used going forward. Because you see, right now we're at a point where it seems we're at this kind of limbo where either we're having such an effect that they're pulling back a little bit, or it was always the plan to just roll it down. Because all it's going to take is something tomorrow. What happens if tomorrow there's some new thing that happens in Japan and all of a sudden there's, oh my God, it's a new variant, or just to say something new. It's a whole new thing and we're all in danger again. What do you think is going to happen? They're going to shift back in. They're going to point to people as the majority, even though that's probably not the majority. And all of us who disagree are going to probably just fall back in going, this sucks. I don't want to do it, but we're going to let it happen because we think we're not the majority. We can't let that happen because all of the, once that rolls back in, it's going to, they're going to take this new thing. They're going to pump it into the mRNA platform. It'll be proof of how this works perfectly. And they're going to say no safety trials because we already did it on the platform and we're all good. All this has been laid out. They've already claimed all these things. So that's all it needs. Is something new. So we need to consider that and ask yourself why they're seemingly covering all this around the mRNA platform and what that really means. Now, Jimmy Dore just pointed out that he got his second Moderna shot. And what he's very quickly beginning to understand, what we've been talking about, is not a bunch of fake news conspiracy theory. He got his second Moderna shot and has since had body, joint pain, general flu-like symptoms ever since. Ever since, not a day, not a week, ever since. Most recently experiencing a stiff neck all of a sudden. I'm not even kidding. He needs to go and get checked out. Anybody who's feeling this 2 weeks after this, I'm worried you got a blood clot. You need to go and rush in, as Dr. Bhakti was saying, as soon as you can and get checked out. Over a month. That's crazy. Now, as this is, by the way, Spiro. I finally confirmed that today. I wasn't sure if it was him. Back on. He says, sorry to hear. According to the CDC, that means it's working, right? Exactly. Don't worry about these terrible, bad side effects that last for. It just means it's working really well. Some of the most dangerous misinformation you've ever heard in your life. Personally, I trust my natural immune system, especially for a virus with a 99%+ survival rate. Exactly. Because it works better. Like my shirt says, I don't need a mask. My immune system is inside. Instead of the experimental treatment, but that's just me. But the point is that people are real world experiencing this. Now, by the way, Jimmy is seemingly interested in joining Super U. So everybody out there that wants to see that happen, reach out to him. Maybe we can get him on the side of information that is really waking people up. Maybe he just needs a location to not be restricted by YouTube to be able to speak on these things. We can only hope. But if he wants to, welcome. Anybody, so send him a message. Say, we want to see you on Super U, man. That's what it's all about. Anybody out there who's being censored, anybody that's willing to talk about the reality, but it's a sad thing to see that people are suffering because they don't want to listen to the reality. Now, on another sad note, OSHA, who we just talked about, abruptly reverses course. Remember, we just showed you on their website where they say, hey, if you force this, you're going to have to be liable for those reactions. And then they go, we take that back and completely remove it and pretend like it was never there. This is what happens in COVID clown world. They alter definitions in real time. They change articles to remove certain parts. That's why we use the Wayback Machine. Now OSHA says, yeah, you're responsible, and then goes, wait, never mind. We don't like that because that makes it look like the vaccine's dangerous, and so now you don't have to. Says the employers will not be liable for COVID vaccine injuries after all. The Occupation Safety and Health Administration now says employers who mandate these vaccines will not be required to treat adverse reactions as recordable injuries, thus eliminating employers' concerns about vaccine injuries impacting their safety record or having to pay for it. Right. This is what happens in a criminal everything. Even when you have people like somebody in OSHA thought they were doing the right thing, and then the powerful elitists come in and go, sorry, you're not in control. Do you want your job? Then write this. And all they can do is try to coerce you in every way possible in the most embarrassing ways because they're desperate. Desperate. And that's why most of this country hasn't gotten this injection, even though they keep talking about how it's going so well and everything's working and everyone's along, except you weird fringe of weirdos in the corner. That's why we're making weird, cringe-worthy videos with some man with makeup on in a YouTube video, which is bad. I mean, really bad. Fauci and Biden speak with YouTube stars to promote vaccination, and even 9/11, Breaking 911 calls it a cringeworthy video. It's really bad. I gotta have it open over here. Just that smile. It's so bad. Just watch really quickly.
If you were to be stranded on a desert island and you had to bring one product with you, a skincare product that you might really love, what would it be?
Some sunscreen.
There we go.
Yay. We're all friends and everyone's happy. Vaccines are good. It's just disgusting. I mean, it's so plainly childish and manipulative. And they go, and the whole thing is just getting into really stupid questions that we know are staged, that they already know, and it's all softball. And what the hell do these people know about what's going on? Why don't you grab, I don't care if you want to grab somebody who, grab a YouTube star that wants to ask questions about what's really, not just lobbed up, you know, just lobbing you easy, not spikes to be like, this is perfect, or here's what we're doing, and we're going to save everybody. It's bad. And by the way, that's why it's got dramatically more love votes, which by the way is always what I show you. And that's why they turn the comments off. They didn't at first. They do now. The reason, guys, is because nobody believes this. Nobody goes along with it. Or at the very least, the vast, vast majority are you. This is the only time these things squeak through, because they're controlling this everywhere they can. When you see 60% of nurses saying no, when you see 60% of Marines saying no, when you see 3,500 downvotes to 805 upvotes for something that you would argue is mass adoption, then you see that the majority is not what they tell you it is. People don't like this. They don't want it. They don't trust them. Just give it time. You're probably going to see this dramatically flip, or they're going to hide it like they do every time. They are scared and desperately trying to manipulate you into this. Here's Dr. Sherry Tenpenny pointing out some Georgia offenders eligible for reduced sentences in exchange for a COVID shot. Now, this is not about prison, because they don't need that. They can test on a prisoner without their choice. They've already been doing that this whole time. They've already injected all sorts of people in prison. That's where we saw that thing where they go, oops, we gave 19 people in a row overdoses. Our bad. Must have been an accident, while they're testing on people who don't have a choice. But this is specifically about, like this person says, in a way that's just ridiculous, because I don't see Sherry Tenpenny making an argument that this is only people in prison. Do you? Seems pretty just a very clear single sentence. But these, you know, these pro-vaxxer, totally sound, scientifically smart people, come on. To be clear, these offenders are not serving time in prison. These folks are doing community service and getting their community service hours cut. No one is letting dangerous offenders out. My God, calm down. Okay. Autism mom, somebody's worked up, not Sherry Tenpenny. But see, there, she's getting upset about what she thinks Tenpenny thinks. And that's upset. Like her, what she assumes her implication is a yell, apparently, that she's yelling this assumption that she doesn't write down, right? Like, it's just so ridiculous. She is listening to Fox or CNN while she's writing this. Mainstream media, both sides of the fake news paradigm. It's just so funny to me. But the point is that this is attacking in her mind whatever she thinks is the narrative. So she comes out hot going, calm down. That's not about this or that. What's the difference? They're coercing people. Her point was about letting out dangerous people. My God, calm down. You mean like they did in huge numbers in every state across this country back when they said they were all going to die from COVID in the prisons? My God, skeptical autism mom, do some research, right? It's just funny to me. But the point here is that these people are being coercively injected. They're saying, hey, we'll let you take time off your prison sentence that a jury of your peers decided was best because that's what the law says, and we don't care about any of that. Just come get this injection and we'll just squash it because law matters, right? They're desperate. They are desperate. Pope Francis says COVID vaccines will now be required to enter heaven. To enter heaven. And yes, obviously this is fake. Anybody with two brain cells to rub together could see that this is a joke. But here's the best part about this. You don't know for sure, do you? That's because of how crazy this is right now. Not from us, right? The point is that this, for a moment, you'd go like, did he really say that? Because you wouldn't ever think that in any other context, because this is really, really stupid. Actually, I mean, it looks like it was probably the Babylon Bee or something, the way that graphic looks, or the way, you know, I don't know, it's possible. But of course this is fake. It's a joke because of how crazy these people are. They're so desperately coercing people that this wouldn't even surprise me. I would be like, of course he would do that, because they're just trying to manipulate you in such desperately obvious ways that this would fit the bill perfectly. So it just cracks me up. But it's what the best part about it is that because of how bad it is, we actually consider that, who knows, maybe it's true. And that even the fact checkers had to jump in and go, wait, people, that's actually fake. Because you know who buy it? The people who trust the narrative. They go, oh no, they're going to think that's real. You can't show that. Tell them it's fake. Put PolitiFact. Make sure they know it's fake because all those Facebook posts are sharing it and they think it's real. And they're making fun of you. I'm sure somebody thought it was real. But the point is, as the MIT study clearly shows you, the ones who are dumb enough to fall for that are the people that trust the narrative. The people like us that are challenging it, we look at this and go, well, that's dumb. And still look in it just to be sure. We still do our due diligence just to make sure the Pope hasn't lost his complete. I mean, if the Pope said something like this, he would lose all credibility in even the people that support him as a religious entity. Because it's so stupid to argue that. Because that's an obviously worldly thing. It doesn't make sense, right? So anybody who's even remotely intelligent can walk through that and go, okay, it can't be. But they still fact checked it. Because this is how broken everything is. No, it's not. Facebook post said this, and let's go through it and do our due diligence and find out that it's an obvious meme and you guys are stupid. That's what you find out. Crazy to me. But one last thing, I think, and then, oh no, dang it, I wanted to get to the self-spreading. We're not too long on this. I found this to be pretty interesting. Not because I'm saying that we know anything happened here, but all of a sudden, there was a military coup in Mali, there was a military coup like a year ago. It's just, and you know what's funny about this is usually when the good guys, who really aren't the good guys, are around the world and they don't really care about it other than to be like, oh, that's happening and stay away, usually means they want it to happen or they are indifferent, right? The only time you see them speak up and cry foul, what about the children, is when it's something they want and don't either don't want it to happen and fighting against it or are saying we need it to happen because of the children, right? Isn't it funny how they don't care about violent coups when it's not important to them? They clearly care about your children, the children and the families and human rights, don't they? It's just so pathetically obvious, guys, but we all seem to fall for it because politics. And that's not the point here today. That's just something I laughed about when I saw that. But, you know, you could see a coup taking place in one of these other places they care that they want controlling domination in. And, oh, it all matters because they needed to go a certain way. But this is interesting for me only because guess what Mali is, by and large? A place that doesn't seem to be vaccinated at all, under 0.1%. So, does at the very least that has to give you like that has to reflect in some way on the leadership, doesn't it? So I'm not saying that's why it happened, but I found that to be interesting. Maybe we'll dig more into this. The only reason I don't have more research on this is because I saw this maybe an hour ago before I was prepping. I'm going to look into this. I'm always fascinated about regime changes, and you know what I'm fascinated about is how 9 times out of 10 it ties back to the U.S. government in some way. Not my opinion, just based on the facts. So it's funny, but it's interesting also to note that there's been a lot of shifts in power in the Middle East and Africa around groups that seem to be challenging the narrative. Just a point interesting to make. And then also to see that, you know, the places like Texas and the country are showing exactly why that is, because the evidence is pretty damning. Texas opened up, fewer vaccinated than the UK, no masks, no vaccine passports, and cases continue to decline. How does that make sense other than it was already declining and your vaccines and masks and everything else and lockdowns increased it, which the data shows you if you actually care to look at it. No lockdowner will ever engage with this data because they don't want to. There's probably something that explains it, right? That's the best they'll do. Yeah, sure, there's something. There could be something that doesn't, too. Guessing is fun, right? It's obvious that this shows you that they're, look, at the very least, if you have to have a mask and distance and have passports and, you know, have everything shut down because everyone's going to die and you don't do any of those things and it goes the other direction, that very clearly shows you that that's not true. That's my opinion. But the data has already been there for a long time. Now, maybe I'll play this on the way out. I'm going to run through this last part. I just want to play a part of this clip that was very, very interesting. He references Whitney Webb's work. He says a lot of interesting things. Let me just push this off here. Jump over really quickly into this because I did tell somebody I was going to jump into this just real quickly. I only have a couple points on this. Now they're coming out and going, oh, you know, fake news. Fact Sparrow. Another fact checker. Cool. Because they do such a great job, you know. But this is, are COVID-19 vaccine self-spreading? Well, who's actually making that claim? Right? Now, I would point to somebody in my position, point to another independent researcher, journalist, somebody who is out here screaming that these vaccines right now are self-spreading. Not saying that it's interesting and possible, and here's evidence that suggests that might be the case, like I'm doing. and then showing you the real world evidence of how this is a real thing that's been researched up until now and is currently being tested on chimpanzees today. Right? Not like that. But somebody out there that's saying these ones today are spreading now, and we know that as a fact. I don't see that. What they point to, I'm not saying it's not there, but what they point to is somebody on Facebook making an arbitrary claim about how that's the case, and then maybe citing my work or somebody's work that doesn't actually say that, and then debunking the entire thing as if any discussion about self-spreading is fake news. Then you get people who don't think past the headline and assume that any concept like this is fake no matter what, and it's not real. That is like the quintessential fact check ploy. It's misdirection. But as it says, COVID-19 vaccines enter the body through administered dose. They can't be passed between people, which, by the way, I actually would posit that's not even necessarily true. That seems to be the claim. I'm not saying I know it's the case, but I'll show you at least one thing. And there's plenty of evidence I've already gone over that seem to, at the very least, suggest that they believe that's not necessarily true, or at least it's possible. But it says an online article makes the claim that COVID-19 spreads in vaccines spread, infecting the unvaccinated with chemical particulates. Now, it says the article cites a story published in the Bulletin website. Now, where? Oh, that's right. That's right. Make sure. Right. Of course. Classic. This is actually the one we should be looking at. This is where it came from. That classic Lee stories fact check. And we've already shown you how ridiculous this website has been in a thousand different ways. But going on, it says an example. Here it is. That's what I was looking for. Of course, so they're pointing to natural news. Not a shocker to me, to be completely honest, because they play it fast and loose with things all the time and speak in hyperbole about things that I, like, for instance, something about Connecticut the other day, which I find to be a little bit of a stretch. But this is the point, guys. This is not the reality to claim that, I'm not going to get into it too deep. The point is to get to the reality of it. But I'll go through this later and show you why I would argue that this article itself is deceptive, maybe not intentionally, but the point is what they're saying here is warned that self-spreading vaccines would threaten the survival of the human race, which I would agree with. It's certainly possible, but what they're claiming, I don't want to get bogged down in this. My point was to go over this and the point go forward. The only reason I want to dig into it further is because I'm not trying to say that they do terrible work all the time. What I'm saying is they tend to play, in my opinion, I've seen a lot of articles on this website that play it fast and loose with things that I think we shouldn't be doing right now. That we need to be better than the mainstream media. In any case, don't trust the fact checkers because they're deceiving you all the damn time. My point is that what they're trying to say is that they're claiming this is one currently, which I'm not saying, and anybody honest wouldn't be saying as a matter of fact, because I don't see the proof of that. I see evidence, which I'll talk about now. Here is a document from the FDA researching exactly the concept, not of self-spreading vaccinations, but of shedding first. Because they're two different things, and that's important as well. They tend to get blended in, like, the articles I just showed you. They get kind of conflated. They're very, very different things. Studies for virus or bacteria-based gene therapy, right? So exactly what we're talking about. This is designed to analyze specifically studies for shedding for viruses for bacteria-based gene therapy, which is what we're talking about. So just so you understand that this is from 2015. Going forward. Here is the Pfizer document from the beginning of this. Let me just grab the exact date. I have this on a cut so I could see it. So here's the main page so you can see it yourself. Oh, why is this loading funny? Come on. There we go. Pfizer. And the date. Usually on the bottom. I guess not. Huh. Interesting. I'm sure it's on here somewhere. I don't waste too much time. In any case, this is the Pfizer document in regard to the safety trials, right? So it's dated in general and based on when the combination of these things that they didn't rush at all were happening. Oh, wow. I hope my screen is not completely freezing up on you guys here. I feel like I'm losing my... I'll just keep going. I hope it's not freezing on you. This is in their document. Okay, it says very clearly under, and I've shown you this before. I showed you this, I think, 6 months ago. Exposure during pregnancy. Okay, it says a female family member or health care provider reports that, and this is in regard to, this is when an exposure event occurs. They report that she is pregnant after having been exposed to the study intervention by inhalation or skin contact. Okay, that's interesting. Here's the next one. A male family member or healthcare provider who has been exposed to the study intervention by inhalation or skin contact then exposes his family female partner prior to or around the time of conception. So that's somebody who is exposed to somebody vaccinated who then exposes it to somebody around them. Now, here's something that I should offer up because we're honest. This could be something that is like a prerequisite for any study like this. That's a fair thing to say, that this 8.3.51 exposure during pregnancy is like a set that applies to any trial. Maybe you're talking next time about some kind of a spray device, and that could be skin contact and inhalation. I'm not saying I think that's the case, but what I'm saying is that you could argue that, and that may be what they argue, that they always include the discussion of skin contact or inhalation, whether or not it's relevant to the product they're using. Right? We all can acknowledge that's a fair thing that they might try to argue that would make sense. But that being stated, this, in my opinion, is very relevant to the research that we've already seen. The research that has already suggested that there is trans, like this passes in a degree, to a degree. Now, that's not to say that we know that's a fact, but there's plenty of evidence to suggest that, as well as the fact that they literally do have research on self-spreading vaccines themselves that I've shown you before. Now, before we get to that, because I'm going to prove that again to people, here is a discussion in November 2020 of exactly this discussion, SARS-CoV-2, and having infection of human sweat glands and having it be able to spread in that way, or the possibility. Okay, we're not talking about anything different. This is COVID-19 here. As with SARS-CoV, interesting, always the crossover, the targeting of sweat glands, which is the argument in this article, is that they do, by SARS-CoV-2, may lead to viral shedding via perspiration. Well, what do you know about that? Okay, science, right? Are we trusting science? That's what they say. Okay, here's the serious science telling you that SARS-CoV-2 specifically can target your sweat glands and then it can shed and spread through perspiration. It can. Not that it always does, but it can, or it may. That's a huge difference than saying, no, for sure, no, can't happen. So again, now we can go back and go, okay, well, that seems a little bit different now, doesn't it? So now if you can literally talk about this transmitting in some way, the viral components of this or the spike protein or whatever we're talking about, that seems very relevant now, doesn't it? That's a fact. I mean, these are facts in science and their documents, Pfizer's document and a scientific study, okay? Here's another one. Detection of SARS-CoV-2 spike protein in saliva. Right? So these are real things, guys. And these studies are combining this together. We can see that if it's in your sweat glands and it's in your saliva, that this can actually spread. The spike protein, this is what we're talking about. And can that then cause somebody else to get sick or have a blood clot or have things that appear to be COVID-19? These are questions we should be asking. I'm not saying I got all the answers, but what I'm saying is they're pretending like it's not happening while it's literally the easiest thing in the world to look up. When I say not happening, I mean that it's just simply like self-spreading vaccines themselves are fake news. And that brings us to this point. Johns Hopkins, Bloomberg School of Public Health. First, just right in the beginning, showing you the clear little bubble graph where they openly put the concept of not just self-spreading, because the reason it was originally designed was for animals. That's the, you can look this up. They designed vaccines that would spread through the animal population by using one administration or a few, and that would arguably stop the transmission to humans or whatever. Since that's not something they care about, now they're discussing self-spreading human vaccines. Not a joke. In case you think that's just some misrepresentation, here it is. Self-spreading vaccines between humans. And they openly talk about how this is going to be used. This is your future or your reality. Just like with Vent 201, it clearly wasn't something about the future, was it? So what are we talking about? Pretty interesting, don't you think? And I think it's pretty telling that they're trying to make this all out to be fake. Now, I was going to talk about a few more things at the end here, but I think I'm just going to wrap it up. I'm going to get into this disease, brain disease thing in another show, but I'm going to leave it with this. I'm going to play you this clip on the way out because it's really well done. And the guy is just knocking some points out. I think I'm only going to play part of it. I just want to get to where he shouts out Whitney Webb. And again, I wanted to point out that Taylor Hudak is going to be interviewing, and we're going to be publishing the Dr. Hodgkin's interview coming up this week for sure. We've got a lot more great content coming out. Whitney and I are still planning to connect in the near future. Just bear with us on that. I'm trying to be easy because she's, you know, doing other interviews as well, and I just don't want to be the reason that she's forcing in too much work. She's just trying to get herself on the right track and be healthy. It's not her fault. It's some, you know, just a health issue. So bear with us. We'll get this going soon. She's got an article and an interview coming up soon. Robert and I, I'm sure, are going to connect. I'm going to be on the Greater Reset, I believe, on the, I'm blank. I think it's the 26th. God, I should have had that set up. I've shared that a bunch of times. I'm going to be speaking with Whitney Webb via Zoom, sadly enough. My part that I needed to get there for the vehicle I was going to be taking didn't come in time. So sadly, I'm going to be here via Zoom, but I'm also going to be speaking live in Franklin Square on the 29th. So make sure you come. Make sure you come out and support us. We're going to be talking about medical freedom. And this will be the first time I've ever spoken live. So it'll be exciting. Maybe I'll talk about a lot more than I should. But it's so important that we continue doing this, guys. This needs to continue happening no matter what. It's the most important thing we could possibly be doing right now. Help me continue to fight to awaken the people out there that can be a benefit to what we're doing. You know, the people out there that maybe are just lost. There's plenty of people in the independent media that I would argue are just completely lost the plot on this topic. But it doesn't mean we shouldn't keep trying to reach them. That's what it's all about, right? We don't need to fight each other. More than ever, we need to find common ground to expose what's really happening and what they're really trying to accomplish. You guys inspire me every day just by being here and continuing to spread the information. And to make sure you continue to spread Super U and get that information out there. I mean, we're obviously, as you guys know, we're doing a slow roll start. That's intentional. We're going to get this growth, get it steady, but keep spreading the information and keep sharing it. We got a lot of more great people joining, more things coming your way. It will change things. Stick with it. I love you all. As always, question everything. Come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.